the social problems that one will have in substituting humans for machines is going to be far easier in those countries that have declining populations.
Larry Fink, the shadowy titan of BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager with over $10 trillion in its grip, has been named interim co-chair of the World Economic Forum alongside Roche's Andre Hoffman.
Who are the people who are going to be able to have sufficient humility to accept that the current status quo doesn't work? And who are the people who are going to act on this?
Remember Larry Fink and Klaus Schwab also said that a few years ago. We will end up soon, by 2030, you will not have your own car. And we're not going to allow the new building of any single family homes. And you notice in the Palisades they burned down on purpose. I told you it'd be a UN city. They declare an emergency, build giant high-rises, 250-square-foot coffin apartments. It's all been officially announced exactly as I said.
There's three giant corporations, BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, which own collectively, they own each other, so it's really one giant corporation. But they also own 89% of the S&P 500. They own everything. They've now decided to buy every single family home in America. So if they stay on the current trajectory, they will own 60% of the homes in this country, single family homes, by 2030.
This move, announced on August 15th, 2025, comes right after an internal probe that cleared World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab of misconduct, though it admitted to minor irregularities.
So if he penetrates the cabinets,
BlackRock's tentacles stretch into every major corporation, government, and central bank. And now Fink's got a front row seat at the WEF's Davos Circus, where the world's power brokers plot their next moves.
What's the end game for you? You're rich. You're powerful. What's next for you?
Consolidation of power in the hands of a man who's been steering markets and pushing agendas like ESG investing, a Trojan horse for centralized control.
What is the goal of ESG?
So the stated goal was to create a set of measurements that they could use to justify taking trillions of dollars of other people's money and doing activist investing with it.
The hedge funds, BlackRock, the banks, these guys want money.
Larry Fink, the guy who built BlackRock from a scrappy startup into a financial juggernaut that owns stakes in over 14,000 companies worldwide. His annual letters to CEOs read like manifestos for a new world order, urging companies to bow to stakeholder capitalism, a soft term for prioritizing globalist agendas over profits.
I was with someone the other day who knows Larry Fink really well, and I said, I think Larry Fink has really been damaging to the country, to the world. And this person said, you know, I feel sorry for Larry Fink. Why? Why do you feel sorry for Larry Fink? Because he's the single unhappiest person I've ever met.
So what can we expect in the coming months? Expect a turbocharged push for digital assets, ESG policies, and global governance that threatens national sovereignty. Fink's BlackRock already manages the largest Bitcoin and Ethereum ETFs worth nearly $95 billion, and his WEF gig could accelerate crypto adoption as a tool for financial surveillance.
Let me ask you this. Will you do another ETF? How about an XRP ETF? I know you got Ether out there. How about XRP? Can you answer that?
I can't.
Under Fink, it's a blueprint for merging corporate power with government policy, creating a world where unelected financiers call all the shots. Fink's leadership risks cementing that reputation, turning Davos into a command center for a financial feudalism where BlackRock's interests reign supreme.
So we've had Christine Lagarde of the ECB say that the entire financial system needs to be rewired for climate change. And she's not the only one saying that. You have the head of climate finance at the UN, Mark Carney, former head of the Bank of England and Bank of Canada, and former Goldman Sachs guy. I'm also saying similar things. Larry Fink is saying similar things. The banker consensus is that the entire global economy has to be remade, and that one of the main pillars of that new system they wish to impose on us is the carbon market, which they currently refer to as the voluntary carbon market. But like digital ID, it will be voluntary in name only.
This isn't a promotion. It's a coronation for a man who's been pulling strings behind the scenes for decades. Wake up, America. This is the real Great Reset. John.
I'm coming to defeat you, evil scum. I'll defeat you, globalists.
I've been waiting a long time for this, Alex.
That like stop, you know, deportation flights and other types of things, you know, so.
Kian Vahat admitted their caucus has secured injunctions that literally halt deportation flights, while also stating that people need to pressure their local governments to not cooperate with the feds.
I think pressuring your local government to not cooperate at all with any of these federal agents.
Last month, our undercover cameras caught Santiago Mukea, director at the Vera Institute, admitting the group tracks ICE movements and pushes that information out so illegal immigrants can dodge enforcement. He also bragged about major donors, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and others.
Who's your main donor?
It's usually like foundations, like the Gates Foundation, or Jeff Bezos, or like some of these like huge philanthropists who like have millions of dollars.
After further investigation and conferring with multiple sources, OMG has found even more names on Vera's donor list. This money trail goes much deeper, with names listed such as Goldman Sachs, who donated $5 million, Fidelity forking over $1.3 million, Bank of America, $250,000, and even Universal Music Group giving $50,000, all to the 501c3 NGO, the Vera Institute.
It's just absolutely insane to find these same organizations, the same players, every single time involved in destroying America and in destroying the entire world. And of course, Bill Gates is one of those main players, and we are going to be talking about him today, because for those who thought the days of Bill Gates were done, sorry, he's still very, very involved in many, many things, and we're going to reveal that all today. I am your guest host, Maria Z, filling in for Owen Schroyer, Maria Z of ZMedia.com, and it is wonderful to be with you all today. It's been a while since I've been here with the InfoWars Warriors, the Info Warriors, so it's wonderful to see you all today. What I am seeing, and let me just say from the outset that my work over the years has been largely focused on Agenda 2030 and what they want to do beyond Agenda 2030, which is Agenda 2045. My work has been focused on transhumanism, biodigital convergence, AI, digital everything, the Internet of Things, Internet of Bodies. And what I've found is that, in fact, there hasn't actually been a pause on any of these things. There's quite a significant acceleration in all of these areas, especially over the past few months. So I can speak to this because I know their end game. I don't profess to know it all, but I certainly have been researching this more than any other area really throughout my career. So I want to make everyone aware of the fact that digital ID is now literally on the doorstep in America. It is accelerating. They are trying to pass it. faster than you can blink. This is how quickly this is coming. And it's very important to understand the entirety of the digital ID agenda and what that means for everyone and how steps have been implemented to get it to where it's, they're trying to pass it here in this country. And this is a global agenda. It is, of course, a UN and a Bill Gates agenda. And we'll go through some of that today. And unfortunately, Republicans are fast tracking it in this country. So we're going to talk about all of that. We're also going to talk about these data centers that are gobbling up farmland all over the United States where residents literally have no say. It's all being done in secret thanks to government NDAs. And even though the big, beautiful bill, the provision for states to not be able to regulate AI for 10 years was defeated, President Trump came in less than, you know, 3 weeks later, essentially, and said, we need states to get on board. And all of a sudden, now we have all of these NDAs in place where people are being stripped of farmland, stripped of their resources. And it all keeps happening in areas that are already subjected to serious water restrictions. So we're going to talk about that acceleration as well. We also have a very, very alarming development as far as vaccines are concerned. You may have all heard the news recently that there's been a cancellation of all of these mRNA contracts and everything's moving in the right direction. Unfortunately, that is not the case. It's simply been a redirection of funds. And surprise, surprise, Bill Gates is actually in the middle of all of it yet again. So that is something that people need to be aware of, because what I'm seeing, and I'm just going to be honest with you all, and this is why I value InfoWars so much, because there is, especially over the past few months, a lot of anonymous accounts on X, and X is undoubtedly the place where people are getting their news from now. It's, you can't argue that point. There are a lot of anonymous accounts on X and a lot of other accounts that are just sort of doing a lot of cheerleading without really being critical of the government, which is the job of journalists. It's the jobs of citizen journalists. And this is what I appreciate so much about InfoWars. InfoWars has never just towed the line. InfoWars always holds power to account. And this is why it's so important to keep supporting this network. And I've always been a huge supporter, and I still am. So I just wanted to say that from the outset, because we have very, very few people that are actually really holding the government to account at this point. And I'm all for supporting your team to get in. And then, you know, if they do something wrong, you hold their feet to the fire. But we're just not seeing a lot of that. We're not seeing a lot of people holding the administration's feet to the fire, and there needs to be a lot more of that. Ultimately, governments serve us, the people, and to be, I think people have been conditioned, and AI is playing a very big role in conditioning people to think that we just have to go along with whatever is happening. And mind you, the propaganda that's coming along with this, it's almost as if, and stick with me here as I explain this, we had a period from COVID, which, by the way, they knew would happen. They knew that people would completely lose trust in the mainstream media. And so since that time, mainstream media has been dragged through the dirt, and nobody really values the mainstream media anymore, although it's not dead. Let's be real, it's not dead. But a lot of people are reading it a lot more critically now. And unfortunately, what's also happened is that a lot of people think that absolutely anything coming out of the mainstream these days is a complete lie. Now, I say unfortunately, because what we're seeing is that sometimes the mainstream media now is reporting more truth than some of these cheerleaders who seem to see absolutely nothing wrong with absolutely anything the government does. Everything is just perfect. And then when the mainstream media reports something that's actually factual, once you look into it, the narrative is, oh, well, the mainstream media is lying again. And that was certainly the case with the Maha Action account on X today. I will just say, I don't have the tweet for you, but basically, and we will get into this, but basically there is a bit of a revolt coming against RFK Jr. and Maha at the moment from farmers. And the Maha Action account is saying, oh, the mainstream media is lying again. But I've looked into it, and actually they're not lying. And so what we're seeing is because the mainstream media has been so discredited, now the quote unquote alternative news sources, not all of them, but some of them are using that as a, as an information weapon against people to discredit something that's actually true. And I'm not saying Maha Action specifically is doing that. I'm just saying I'm seeing that pattern with a lot of these accounts that sort of propped up in the last few months out of nowhere. These people that get boosted artificially, it seems, because if you are actually holding someone to account, you're not boosted. But if you're just doing cheerleading, you are. So it's really fascinating to watch this. And I would say that the level of psychological operation that's happening now, particularly the acceleration over the past few months, is infinitely more complex than the period of COVID, because during COVID, you were able to clearly identify who the bad guys are, the ones who are calling you Nazis because you haven't injected yourself with an experimental injection. Those are the clear enemies. The ones who are saying we need to lock all these uninjected people up. And I know that people are sick of talking about COVID, but it's important that you understand it clearly says in the Rockefeller lockstep documents that the people after the pandemic will completely lose trust in the media and institutions and everything. And then the government will become more totalitarian as a result. This was planned long before COVID was put out there into the world, but long before that operation was launched. And thus they knew that they had to prepare for the distrust that the people would have in the establishment, in the media, and so on. And a lot of that involves presenting to us heroes who may very well have the right intentions, but are still doing things that are harming us behind the scenes. And we're going to talk about a lot of that today. But I wanted to start by telling you about the progress on digital ID. So we have to talk a little bit about what digital ID is. The governments all around the world are presenting to us that digital ID is a way of reducing fraud and protecting children from online, child sexual exploitation material, protecting them from online predators. And this is something that has accelerated both in Australia, the UK, and in Canada, and across every single nation, really, this biometric surveillance of all of mankind. And what they've done, they tell you initially that something is voluntary, for example, how they did in Australia. They said this is just a voluntary program. They passed it despite the fact that absolutely everyone was against this, or almost everyone. And then, less than 2 years later, come December this year, Australians will have to verify their age in order to do a simple Google search, let alone utilize social media, which is a digital battleground in this war. And so it doesn't take very long before these things are implemented, before they're weaponized against you. But let me tell you, the steps that are happening in the United States aren't going to take 2 years. This is coming much, much faster than most people realize, and barely anyone is covering it. Now, if you tune into my regular show that I do with the Vigilant Fox, it's called The Daily Pulse. It goes on X and Rumble and other platforms. You may have already heard this information because we have been talking about it, but I want to take people through it in the event that you haven't, and also in a little bit more detail than we have done thus far. So if the team can bring up the Roblox article from Substack, that would be really helpful. This is from the Vigilant Fox's Substack, and it basically gives you a little bit of background into this Roblox saga. So it says that Roblox's child predator problem just got weirder. Now, if you just scroll down a little bit, team, you'll see that after the second picture there, it says every month, 380 million users log into Roblox, a massively popular mobile and console game among children. And basically, Roblox has sort of this infinite replayability, but some of these custom games have become a magnet for child predators. And a little bit further down, you see this example from XYZ, XYZ Public Bathroom Simulator. And basically what happens with this is that the whole premise of the game is it's commonplace to see naked avatars or predators showering with children. A 22-year-old Roblox YouTuber called Schlepp is exposing all of this, and basically 7.4 million users, mostly children, have been exposed to this filth, and it's still widely available for anyone to join. So it really has become this hotbed for child predators. Allegedly, this has been going on for many years. This YouTuber Schlepp is actually someone who was a victim of this, reportedly, and that is why he's so committed to doing something about this. And the CEO of Roblox, who's been the CEO for 21 years, actually, that person is, I'm looking for his name. It's escaped me at the moment, but the CEO, 21 years, has basically defended the actions and said to parents, well, you know, if it bothers you, David Bezuski, that's his name. If it bothers you, then if you're not comfortable, then get your kids off Roblox. And I said this recently, I said, controversially, he's actually right about that. He's not right about allowing this stuff to proliferate on his platform. But he's right about the fact that if you are a parent that is concerned about these platforms, get your kids off them. And that is true. What we don't need is the government coming in and saying, oh, because this isn't safe for children, now we're going to penalize all of these adults all across America and make sure that everyone has to verify themselves, not just on Roblox, on all social media apps in order to use the internet. But that is what's happening here. And what I find really strange, and the reason I'm giving you this example, is because this is how it always goes. So you could see there when Schlepp was younger, he was groomed by a Roblox developer. That's why he's so determined to expose this. And I mean, good on him for not giving up on this. But here you have a CEO of 21 years in this company, and this has been a problem, allegedly, almost the whole time. But nothing's been done about it. Nothing's been done to hold this CEO accountable. Nothing's been done to hold Roblox accountable. Nothing concrete. If you or I, God forbid, had some kind of material like this on our private computers, we'd be behind bars. And we should be. If anyone is engaging in that type of behavior, you should be behind bars. Unless you're involved in a child predator sting in Nevada and you happen to be allowed to go back to your home country without any consequences. You've all heard about that. But these platforms, so Meta is another example, you know, a lot of problems with child safety on their child sexual exploitation material, but they were allowed to continue instead of these platforms actually being held to account and being penalized and facing the same consequences that any other regular person should. They say, no, now the rest of society has to be punished and verify themselves in order to use platforms so that we can protect children. But we're not going to hold the pedophiles to account. We're just going to treat everyone else as though you could be a pedophile. Therefore, you have to identify yourself to use the internet. Or you could be a vulnerable child. Therefore, we have to make sure you're not. And so this is the pattern that's happening across every single country, especially in the West. It's something that's happened again, like I said, Australia, the UK, you know, Keir Starmer recently saying, no, we don't censor. We just want to make people safe online because we have too many kids committing suicide because of bullying. Well, hang on a second. Since when is a result of maybe not enough parental supervision or, you know, but mainly that's the problem. Parents not monitoring their children's activities online sufficiently. And so the government's going to step in and do it for you. The government's going to step in and do it for you. Yet that's not really what's happening here. The government is making you identify yourself in order to use the internet. Now I tell you all of that. I tell you all of that because now, and the team's brought it up at the perfect time, Louisiana's war on Roblox is turning into a digital ID crusade. And the article says that lawmakers in Louisiana are seizing on growing public anger over safety concerns with Roblox to advance calls for mandatory age verification, not just on Roblox, but across all digital platforms. Every single digital platform. Oh, would you believe it? So all these years, 21 years, this guy's been the CEO, never been held to account. nothing concrete. Roblox hasn't been held to account. We can't see any significant fines that would make them rethink their actions or put safeguards in place on their own platform with all the profit that they make. Use AI to identify CSAM and pull it down immediately. There are a myriad of resources that could help them hold their platform to account. No, no, no. Louisiana lawmakers are saying, no, no, we need all adults to verify themselves across all digital platforms. The same pattern, ladies and gentlemen, that is happening in every single country. And so it's actually Attorney General Liz Murrell who is calling for this. She's a Republican, and she filed a lawsuit on Thursday targeting the online gaming site, accusing it of fostering conditions that allow child predators to operate with little resistance. And Reclaim the Net have actually had a look at the complaint there, and they said, Murrell said that the platform's failure to verify user ages has created a breeding ground for abuse. And so because of that, she's urging major tech companies to adopt strict age verification protocols. Big tech platforms, and I'm quoting her here, this is her post on X, big tech platforms must get on board with age verification laws. And of course, this is being tested, as always, in Australia, in the UK, in these other countries that don't have the same constitutional protections as America does where the First Amendment is concerned. America has the greatest, most amazing constitution in the world, and I am telling you, and I am promising you, that Silicon Valley is coming for your First Amendment. And unfortunately, we have Republicans and people within the administration who are supporting it, who are fast-tracking this. This cannot be allowed to happen in America, because I'm telling you, if it comes here, well, that's it. I mean, this is the last stand. No other country has a Bill of Rights like America. No other country has anything like the First Amendment. That is why it is under assault at the levels that it has been for some time. And everyone would like to think that that assault on the First Amendment has gone away. I'm here to prove to you today that Republicans are currently assaulting your First Amendment, because here's what happens. If they convince you that you have to verify yourself to use the internet, that is now a permission slip for the government, in collusion with big tech, to be using your online speech, the people that you follow, the people that you associate with. We saw recently that Grok is tracking associations. All of these tools, these online tools that we use for digital warfare, peaceful resistance, getting information out, will then very easily be weaponized against us. And yes, you can see there, Oracle's Larry Ellison, who Trump announced on day two he's doing AI mRNA with, says that AI will someday track your every move. We've seen Larry Fink of BlackRock saying we need to force behaviors. And there have been some very alarming statements coming out of Elon Musk as well, which we will discuss. But I want to spend some time, we're coming up to a break, but I want to spend some time after the break really delving into digital ID and how these moves in Louisiana link back to the final agenda, which will be the nail in the coffin for all freedom forever. Because just like big tech platforms circumvented the First Amendment during the COVID era, where they said, well, this is a public health risk, we can't let this person warn that people are dying from the shots, and we saw that the federal government put takedown requests to Twitter and Twitter colluded with them, and that public-private partnership, who was held to account for it? Absolutely no one was held to account for violating your constitutional rights. Once a digital ID is in place, ladies and gentlemen, or if no one was held account back then, what makes us think anyone will be once a digital ID is in place? Don't go anywhere. We're going to delve into this more right after this short break.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban. Right. This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim. This is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more. The natokinase and the serapeptase, those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
No, 100%. I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowStore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top selling products of all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. We look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. Well, this is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
Today, I am trying to scream from the rooftops that digital ID is on America's doorstep, and it is very, very serious. I'm going to show you the legislation that's in place, some of the other legislative efforts, apart from what we just spoke about in Louisiana, that are in place to try and get this happening ASAP. And you're going to be very, very surprised at some of the people that are backing this. So before we go into which efforts are underway here and the legislation that ties into this, I just want to show you what sort of people are backing this digital ID and worldwide digital ID. And many of you probably understand this by now, but it's very important that we set the tone for what is coming and what is at the doorstep. There is a Gates Foundation webpage that I've sent through to the team on what is digital public infrastructure. That is, again, from the Gates Foundation on digital public infrastructure. And while they get that ready, there we go. If we just scroll down a little bit on that page, we can see a slideshow. It's got three slides in it, and it says DPI functions similarly to roads. Keep in mind, this is the Gates Foundation. Digital public infrastructure, or DPI, is similar to roads, which form a physical network essential for people to connect with each other and access a huge range of goods and services. And they say that these goods and services are vital in creating economic opportunity across many sectors, including finance, health, and agriculture. Now, what I will say is I did a very, very long investigation into digital public infrastructure some time ago. You can look at Bill Gates 50 in 5, I think it's called, that talks about what DPI is, the fact that they want to tokenize absolutely everything, including you, and it all goes on this digital ledger that then becomes digital public infrastructure. What it means essentially, let me just decode the whole thing for you, is that everything, every single thing on earth, including every blade of grass, is now the property of big tech, who controls the data of it, of the tokenization of all of these things. So if we go on to part two of that slideshow, it says, without DPI, there are roadblocks. It says, you know, what happens when people don't have access to all of this? It's limited inclusion, particularly affecting women and poor people. They always give us these lines. It restricts the choice in the range of goods and services available and how to access them. Well, of course, that's the case if they are making your ability to access goods and services dependent on your on you having a digital ID, on you having age verification in place. That includes, by the way, being able to pay your rent or your mortgage or being able to access your bank account or being able to pay a phone bill or your internet bill. So you might say, okay, I'm going to just plug out. I won't use social media. I won't even use search engines anymore. Or you may think I'm going to use a VPN. Yeah, they have that covered too. Don't worry there. They made sure in Australia that they're going to look into VPNs as part of all the people planning to circumvent these new rules using VPNs. But nonetheless, you may say, well, I'll just unplug from the internet and that's it. I'm done with social media. And I see those responses. Okay, how are you going to pay your mortgage or access your bank account? How are you going to pay for items at the grocery store that you need to eat? You say, okay, well, I'll just do it with cash. Okay, you can't withdraw your cash unless you have a digital ID linked to your bank account. What are you going to do then? Because that is the future that is around the corner, not just for the whole world, not just for America, but for the whole world. That is the future. So it goes on to say that it poses cybersecurity and regulatory concerns. Of course, we always hear about these cybersecurity concerns by the same people who just can't take down illicit drug sales and pedophile rings on the deep web, but you're a cybersecurity concern. And this is because they're operating on what's called a zero trust model. If you don't understand what that is, look it up. But essentially it is treating every single person as though they have zero trust and they have to prove their trustworthiness to the government and big tech. Then on the final slide here, you can see that the Gates Foundation says that when countries implement DPI, meaning digital ID, payments, and data exchange, it forms a cohesive digital network that enables countries to safely and efficiently open economic opportunities and deliver social services to its residents. Meaning, let's flip that. Without digital ID, we're not going to be able to achieve our Internet of Everything. Therefore, we can't safely and efficiently open up any economic opportunities for you. You're effectively going to be locked out. And we also can't deliver any social services to you. And guess what that looks like, ladies and gentlemen? That looks like Real ID, which was recently implemented, where they said, well, you're no longer able to fly without a Real ID. Oh no, actually you are able to fly without it, but you're just going to have a difficult time without it. Therefore, it's just easier and more convenient if you get one. And by the way, you can't actually access certain services inside federal buildings without one, so you better get one. It's just, you won't be able to access these services without it. And these are the incremental steps that keep coming to condition us for our digital prison. And that was done just recently under this administration. And says they save time and money. And of course, you know, people have access to the goods and services they need to live healthy, productive lives, making the country stronger and more resilient. The flip side of that is people will not have access to goods and services or anything they need to be healthy unless they do what we tell them, unless they have a digital ID, unless they subscribe to the social credit system that we are still in the process of building, courtesy of Bill Gates and others just like him. And of course, I'm not under the impression that he's the top of the food chain. Please don't misunderstand me. He's the face of obviously puppet masters above him. My point is that this man who was demonized by RFK Jr., by others who knew that he was spreading infertility epidemics across Africa with his vaccines and maiming people and disabling them, and openly said that he wants to depopulate the world, and if we do a really good job with vaccines, we'll be able to reduce the world's population. This guy that we all said, this guy's a maniac. The current administration is implementing many of his published initiatives. And there's more coming on that front as far as vaccines and RFK Jr. goes. But let's just stick to digital ID here. So I want to now take you to the World Economic Forum's page on digital identity. And you can see here that it says all the different things that digital identity is linked to. It may be a little bit blurry for you guys, so I'll just tell you. It says that digital ID is linked to cybersecurity, meaning governments say they can't have cybersecurity without it. Justice and law. You want a fair trial? You need a digital ID. If you want to participate in the supply chain and benefit from the supply chain, or even if you're in the logistics business, sorry, you need a digital ID. And let me just tell you that in Australia already they have something called a director's ID. Well, you can go to prison if you don't have this. If you're a company director and you don't have the director's ID, you can go to jail. So that's coming because, of course, it's a national security risk. It's a cybersecurity risk. It's a risk to the logistics chain if we don't implement this. Global governance, guys, without this, we can't have global governance. Systemic racism is going to be in place unless we put a digital ID in. The blockchain is dependent on digital ID. The digital currency they keep pushing is dependent on digital ID. And why? Well, that is very simply because if you look up Bill Gates' patent 060606, you will see that there is a plan to link your body's data to your ability to mine cryptocurrency. So why is the blockchain dependent on you having digital ID? Because they can't have a one world government with a one world currency where you can't buy or sell without the mark. Remember, this is their final goal. The mark of the beast is their final goal. You can't buy or sell without the mark unless your ability to do everything in life is linked to your ID, which is linked to your ability to access finances. So without digital ID, they can't implement that system. They need your identity linked to your ability to do commerce. And you've seen how quickly they erase people from the internet when they deplatform them. And all of a sudden, you know, that person's voice is severely impacted. Sure, they might come up here, there, or somewhere else. But tell me how many more viewers InfoWars would have if they were allowed on YouTube, for example. Tell me how much more impact they would have been able to have if they were still allowed on YouTube. Well, it's the same thing with someone who gets deleted because they haven't they don't have a digital ID, except the alternative is InfoWars was actually able to set up their own platform. When this is all fully implemented, you will have no alternative but to be in that system. And the ultimate goal is for your compliance with it to be linked to your ability to earn money, as is openly admitted inside the UN 100's plan, remaking the world towards the age of global enlightenment, which Ursula von der Leyen is a contributor to, where it says that, okay, you won't be punished like in China, where they, you know, take away your money. You just won't be able to earn money unless you're doing what the system wants. And this future is coming our way quicker than you can imagine. So just going back to the WEF, and I'm just going to speed through some of this. Internet governance, the European Union depends. Their existence depends on you having digital ID, everyone. Data science, global risks, parity. I can't really see that. Parity and inclusion. Illicit economy. So digital ID will squash the illicit economy. And, of course, that is the excuse. Oh, we need to catch the criminals. Therefore, we need you to have a digital ID. We need to and just – tell me if you can imagine this coming around the corner. To ensure election integrity, we need digital ID. I would be very surprised if that was not the next argument that was made. We have to, the illegals won't be eligible for digital ID. Therefore, we will maintain election integrity by getting everyone onto digital ID. I guarantee you that will be one of the proposed arguments. Maybe not in those words, but something along those lines. Civic participation. You will not be able to participate in society without a digital ID, per the World Economic Forum, who Larry Fink is now co-chairing along with Andre Hoffman. Larry Fink, who says we're going to force behaviors, the co-chair now of the World Economic Forum, it's clearly there. Your participation, civic participation, depends on you having a digital ID. Your human rights or access to them depends on you having a digital ID. Global health, the digital economy, trade and investment, and of course their ability to financial and monetary systems, and of course their ability to implement the fourth industrial revolution depends on everyone agreeing with digital ID. So I just wanted to give you the full scope of what organizations like the WEF have said, and if you think that the WEF is insignificant, well, Larry Fink doesn't go and co-chair an organization that's insignificant, ladies and gentlemen. So it's absolutely not insignificant. It's part of the system that is implementing our enslavement, our digital enslavement. It hasn't gone anywhere. What happens is that when there is enough attention on these organizations and you build up the public pressure, all of a sudden they start being in the news a little less. They start having less people attend their conferences, and people say, oh, maybe I don't want to be associated with that. Maybe we'll just have our Zoom calls in private and continue to force these things on people, as Larry Fink says, through the monetary control that someone like BlackRock has over pretty much every single company in the world now. And they're buying up more through private equity. And of course, the Genius Act that President Trump was just talking about, while there are some positive things included in the Genius Act, you have the entire private equity industry that's going to be now attacking 401ks and IRAs, essentially stripping people of their wealth. Please go and watch my interview with Tiffany Cianci on that. It's very, very important that people understand how these vultures are coming for your retirement money next. Because if it isn't enough that they want to lock you into a digital prison with your only option being digital currency and a social credit system, they're going to make sure you have nothing when it comes to your retirement as well. These people are robbers, they are thieves, and they have not stopped. There was just some breathing space and some theater, but nothing has stopped. And I want to show you the COSA legislation in the United States. It's a congress.gov link that I sent through to the team. This is the Kids Online Safety Act. And you can see, if you go to the co-sponsors section, actually, I'll just tell you, this bill requires covered online platforms, including social media platforms, to implement tools and safeguards to protect users and visitors under the age of 17. Covered platforms means online platforms, video games, messaging applications, including Signal, WhatsApp, any other private messaging application, or video streaming services used or likely to be used by individuals under the age of 17 with specified exceptions. So they'll tell you, well, this is just a way of protecting kids. And, you know, we're just making sure that the kids are protected on these platforms. Yeah, that's exactly what Australia said. And now every adult has to identify themselves to do a Google search. because the goal is to get the whole world onto the DPI, the digital public infrastructure, the tokenization of every single possible thing, including human being on Earth, for the Internet of Things and the Internet of Bodies, which, by the way, from my research, J.D. Vance was quite involved with during his time, working under Peter Thiel and characters like this. But very, very important to understand that that agenda is still very much there. Now, I showed you the COSA legislation. When you go to the co-sponsors, the sponsor is Senator Marsha Blackburn, a Republican from Tennessee. You also have, you have a total of 41 co-sponsors on there. So this list includes both Democrats and Republicans alike, that are co-sponsoring this bill. 41 of them co-sponsoring something that will make it so that adults have to verify themselves online. And that may not be the initial layout of the legislation, but that is what it leads to. And I want to show you, I've sent the team a video clip of Anthony Albanese, which is the Australian Prime Minister, talking about giving his pitch on the under 16 social media legislation. And listen to how familiar this is when you consider what the COSA legislation is. If we can pull that clip up, please.
Social media is doing harm to our kids, and I'm calling time on it. I've spoken to thousands of parents, grandparents, aunties and uncles. They, like me, are worried sick about the safety of our kids online. And I want Australian parents and families to know that the government has your back. I want parents to be able to say, sorry, mate, it's against the law for me to get you to do this. We don't argue that the changes that we will be legislating will fix everything immediately. We have laws such as people can't buy alcohol if they're under 18. And from time to time, that can be broken. But those laws set what the parameters are for our society, and they assist in ensuring the right outcomes. The onus will be on social media platforms to demonstrate they are taking reasonable steps to prevent access. The onus won't be on parents or young people. There will be no penalties for users.
So the onus won't be on young people or on parents. The onus will be on the social media platforms, he says. There is actually another clip where he says, don't worry, parents. The onus is on us, the government, to make sure your kids are safe, which is probably the most terrifying thing that you could ever hear coming out of a government figurehead. But nonetheless, you see there the presentation is the same, and that is exactly what's happening in Louisiana with Roblox, which is why I spent the time to tell you about that story. There is these platforms are allowed, like Meta, to continuously have child sexual exploitation material proliferating on their platforms. Horrific examples of pedophiles on these platforms preying on children. No accountability until all of a sudden you have, guys, this is getting out of control. We need digital ID for everyone. This is how we're going to protect the children. What happened for the past 5, 10 years that this was going on, what no one knew about it? You're telling me that you can come to someone's door. Don't forget, it wasn't that long ago, guys, that the FBI was turning up to mum's houses for giving a speech at school board meetings, or, you know, all across the world in the UK, you say something negative about migrants. It's like the police teleporting to these people's doors how quickly they arrive. So you're telling me that the government across every single nation is able to send law enforcement to your door in the blink of an eye if you say something negative about the government or their policies or the current regime. They can do that. That is how quickly they can respond to dissidents. But all these years, they're just unable to do anything about these pesky pedophiles. We just can't do anything about them. Therefore, the only solution is to get everyone onto a Bill Gates-inspired digital ID that Larry Fink, now co-chair of the World Economic Forum, has said you can't participate in society without it. You can't participate in the economy without it. There is coming a time when the ability of you to have civic participation will be dependent on you having this digital ID. And like I said to everyone, okay, maybe you think, all right, well, it's not the mark. I'm going to get this digital ID, and many people will. It's just a reality because most people, number one, aren't informed, which is why I'm spending almost the entire hour on this to let people know what's coming down the pipeline. Please share this with everyone and let them know what is happening right now. But number one, they're not informed. Number two, doesn't seem as sinister as going and getting an injection. You know, okay, well, I have to get a digital ID to be able to do this, that, and the other. And mind you, I've accessed some services in America while I've been here almost, well, about a year now. And it's, you know, you have to scan your face to do this, that, or the other. If you've ever, you know, had to apply for a particular product or access health insurance or whatever the case may be, these sorts of biometrics have been here for a while. So most people are preconditioned to it and they think, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal initially is actually not that big of a deal because, of course, they have a database with all of our online activity and all of our speech and all of our videos and absolutely everything that we do. They're watching every keystroke on our phones, for goodness sake. Even on Gmail, if you type something and then you delete it, their AI has already captured what you typed. If you change your mind and say, no, that's a bit too spicy, too bad. Their AI has already captured it. So they've been building our digital twins for a very long time. And believe you me, they know where we stand on things if we're vocal. But the problem is that initially there won't be those types of consequences that I'm talking about because it is a slow boiling frog approach that always happens with these things. They do it in stages so that you'll be outraged in stages and not notice the other steps that come that are far worse than the initial stages that were introduced. This is how it always happens. I'm telling you, Australia introduced digital ID almost 2 years ago now. And it took 2 years to get there, but now by December, every adult has to verify themselves to use a Google search. Guys, if you're someone that depends on Google for your business, you might say, okay, I don't want social media. If you depend on Google to do your business, how are you going to do it? You can't. And okay, you might say, well, that's not all that sinister. Okay, until you say the wrong thing online or until you say the wrong thing around your phone and it happens to record you because now it's linked to your digital ID. It happens to record your words or your behavior, eventually your thoughts. All of a sudden your bank account's switched off or suspended until you rectify your behavior. Sign a little loyalty pledge to the regime, to big tech, to Silicon Valley, who is deep, 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 deep inside the current administration. We see departments laying off staff. Tulsi Gabbard's recently announced that, you know, all these staffers are going. I wonder if that's because AI is going to be taking over a lot of those functions. Because certainly we see a lot of people within the HHS, and please look this up, go and fact check me, a lot of people that were let go from the HHS, you know, that we think, oh, well, these guys are part of the establishment, part of the system. That's all well and good, but look at who they brought in. Look at who they brought in as chief technology officers and some of the higher ups. They're actually all Palantir staff. Go figure. So what are we replacing? We're replacing leftists and Democrats and all of this sort of stuff. But what it's being replaced with is the surveillance state. And I'm going to go into more of that as far as the data centers go and the stripping of American farmland. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this break.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease. And what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue. And that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Before the next segment, I just want to recap what we were talking about there and give you all a very interesting video, which I think we might play one more time later on in the show. But basically, we have this acceleration of the AI agenda. We have this acceleration of digital identity. Everything that the World Economic Forum said was coming. Everything that the UN said was coming. Everything that people thought was about to be defeated, it hasn't been. The fight is very much still active and very much accelerating. And there's a clip that Vigilant Fox posted, which I wanted to show everyone. It's Elon Musk talking about how humans can stay relevant in the age of AI. Let's take a look at that. Okay, the team doesn't have that one ready. That's okay, I'll show it to you later. Well, basically, he said, the best thing I came up with is that you have interwoven. So again, he's being asked about how humans can stay relevant in the age of AI. And he says, the best thing I came up with is that you have interwoven human and machine intelligence and got something like Neuralink to augment human intelligence and improve the symbiosis with AI that we effectively become maybe one with the AI. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that sounds like an absolute nightmare to me, having some brain chip in my head, which of course, and I've spoken about this so many times, they bring these things to us under benevolent causes. They say, you know, it's going to help the paralyzed walk. Don't you want paralyzed people to be able to walk? Of course we want to help the paralyzed people, and I mean that sincerely, but that's never the reason why these people bring these things out. And so it went from, we're going to help paralyzed people to be able to play computer games and control computers with their minds. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, Neuralink files a patent and gets it approved for telekinesis and telepathy. Look it up. They really got that approved for telekinesis and telepathy. And now Elon Musk is saying, well, look, yeah, human beings are going to become irrelevant in the age of AI. And the best I can come up with is that they all get a chip in their head so that they can become one with the machine. This is the same Elon Musk, by the way, that's been posting pornography all over his X account the past few days. It's like this AI generated porn that really does look like young girls. If you have a look at it, I didn't send the team any of these tweets because I'm disgusted by them. But it's like every second or third post, he's, you know, people are using Grok or whatever to generate these AI companions, I guess. And it's all very sexual. And the girls have, you know, little pigtails and they really look underage. Of course, they're cartoons, so you can't prove that. But that's what it appears to be. And so he's, you know, pushing this symbiosis with AI. He's pushing this merging human beings with technology. Everyone's got to get a brain chip to stay relevant. It went from, oh, wow, this guy's super base to, well, if you want to be relevant, you need a brain chip, guys. And by the way, look at this AI porn. I mean, it really just is turning into something out of a dystopian sci-fi film. Algorithms boosting only the narratives they want them to see. Granted, there's more free speech on X, and that's all well and good. But to deny the algorithmic boosting is just, you know, you can't. It's clear to anyone with a brain that certain narratives get more favor with the algorithm than those who are poking holes in the narratives. And I've been talking about this since the beginning. There we go. The team's brought it up. I didn't want to see it, but that's okay. I'm glad they did. It looks like, you know, that's probably not even the most egregious example. Some of them look, you know, incredibly young. It's really, really disturbing. And so, I'm just saying, in terms of the acceleration that's happening behind the scenes, like what we just spoke about with digital ID and everything, and now we have the normalization phase where social media algorithms are pushing this stuff, Elon Musk's pushing this stuff, we have a promotion of degeneracy yet again. We were all disgusted with the promotion of degeneracy under the last administration. But now we have this guy who says he's, you know, potentially going to support J.D. Vance. Well, that's the rumor. J.D. Vance has denied that rumor, but he's pushing this stuff. I mean, that's just filth. Yuck. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue, my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine at the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
We have that clip of Elon Musk basically telling us that unless we get a brain chip, we're going to be irrelevant. Let's take a look.
What's your vision for a society where human effort is no longer required for survival or productivity? How do we avoid irrelevance?
Right. I think that's the central question. Well, if we are symbiotic with AI, where we, this essentially a merger of human and machine intelligence, then we may be able to address the relevance question. You know, like let's say you ride a bicycle or a motorcycle or a car. You're superhuman in what you're able to do. You can now travel faster than any human with legs. I mean, if you're a car, you can go vastly faster than the fastest human ever. Does that make running irrelevant? I mean, people still run, and still race against each other. So, but you've got, humans working with machines. I mean, they actually had these kind of debates when the steam engine came along and the steam shovel. It's like, well, because people derive a lot of their value from saying they can do manual work faster than a machine. And then the machine got faster. But this is a philosophical question that I struggle with. And the best thing I can come up with is that you have interwoven human and machine intelligence and got something like Neuralink to augment human intelligence and improve the symbiosis with AI that we effectively become maybe one with the AI.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Maybe we can all get Elon Musk's brain chips, which, you know, really aren't Elon Musk's brain chips. They're DARPAs. Maybe we can all get these brain chips and then Musk can just blast his child porn into our brains directly, because that's what we're seeing on X. That's what the algorithm's pushing. And again, I'm not saying it's child porn. I'm not saying he's proliferating that. I'm saying it appears to be that. So maybe we can just get brain chips and Musk can just beam them into our heads from his satellite network. I don't know. Let's become one with AI. But this is crazy. What world are we living in here? What is this dystopian nightmare madness? And the team just brought up a tweet from Musk there, and I wanted to talk about that tweet because he says AI is obviously going to one-shot the human limbic system. That said, I predict counterintuitively that it will increase the birth rate. Mark my words, also we're going to program it that way. And this is where I think it's, you know, really indicative of the deception of some of these transhumanists, where they appear to be pro-human, they say things that are pro-human, and I'm all for, you know, promotion of pro-human and higher birth rates and people having more babies. Obviously, I'm on the side of humanity. But listen to the very clear admission here. Musk is saying, this is one of my desires. He claims it is. So therefore, we're going to make sure that humanity is steered in this direction because we're in control of programming the AI. We are the ones who are going to steer humanity in the way that we program AI. So while this particular aspect might be a good thing, being pro-humanity, pro-more birth rates, simultaneously we have this dude posting what appears to be, you know, kiddie stuff. Like it appears that way. These AI models look like children. So what else is he going to be programming, him and the Teals of the world and the Palantirs and all the other Silicon Valley little tech, big tech, turning very quickly into big tech guys? What else are they going to be programming the AI with? Because you have a clear admission there from Musk that, mark my words, we're going to program it that way. We're going to program it to be this, that, or the other. So it's very important for people to consider, you know, really, really read the words of these transhumanists. And Musk is one. We know that. And transhumanism is 100% all the way opposed to natural humanity. It is about merging man with machine. And he literally just told you there. The only way, you know, I struggle with this philosophical question. The only solution I can see is for everyone to get chipped and become one with the machine that we're programming and controlling. Has there ever been anything more terrifying coming out of someone who seems to have disarmed the entire population with his basedness? I know people get upset about this when I criticize Musk, but I've been curious about this fellow for quite some time. You know, the guy that wears a Baphomet suit, the guy that, you know, walks around with a New World Order jacket, his family history is sus as anything. Telling us now that you know, you guys, you just got to get brain chips to be relevant. That's what you got to do. Got to get a brain chip. The heck is going on? Anyway, I tell you all of that because it leads to the bigger problem here, which is that essentially we have this story out of Missouri, and this won't be the last one. We have a story out of Missouri that I've reported on this week. 440 acres of farmland in Missouri is being taken over for a data center. Residents are outraged and had no idea because the government keeps the whole thing secret with non-disclosure agreements, and the residents will not be allowed to vote on it. So just think about the fact that everything that we have talked about up until this point, this report, and I'm going to play you the video in a second. It's genuinely heartbreaking. Everything that we've talked about, all of these different steps towards our digital enslavement depend on these data centers. And they are coming, come hell or high water, to the point where the government is doing NDAs with these companies to make sure that the people can't find out. Crew, can you please play that clip? It's about 3 minutes. I want everyone to see the whole thing.
I'm in St. Charles, Missouri, where a massive data center project is being proposed on a 440-acre piece of farmland. Residents here are outraged about what this could mean for their water, their electricity rates. And the biggest thing is it's been kept a secret because of a non-disclosure agreement.
These are residents who live within just a few feet. Some of them who live right on the edge here got this letter from the city letting them know that a data center could be built right across the street.
We're over 500 feet away from the nearest. Everybody always wants larger properties, significant
population. Do you think a data center here could make the water quality issue worse?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Oh.
You think you should be able to vote on this?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
But can you vote on it?
No.
No. It's up to our councilman.
And what are you hearing from them?
Well, not much.
Nothing.
There's an NDA in place. So it's hush hush.
Which one of you lives the closest to the proposed site?
We do.
Ours is the one with the blue truck is that.
Wow, so you are the closest. Did you have any idea that this was coming?
No.
2 weeks ago.
So I found a memo on my front porch.
So I've never been involved in a large project that anyone doesn't feel is rushed in some form or fashion, right? Change is hard.
There is a town hall where residents are getting to go up and ask questions of the developers behind this data center project. You can see all the people trying to get information from these tables, but there's no way they can hear because there's too many people. There's no microphones.
I'm really disappointed tonight. This is really an inappropriate place to get any answers. Just walk around to different booths. One person's asking a question, you can't hear the question, you can't hear the answer, then that person moves aside, another person takes their place. Half the time the answer is, I don't know that at this table, you need to go to talk to people at a different table. This is just a dog and pony show.
I can't even ask anybody, you know, there's just so many people in here. It's so frustrating.
The city council is who the vote's going to be on the 19th. The 10 people are going to make the decision on something this huge, something this absurd going into our community, which potentially could ruin the water source for St. Charles. This isn't something for 10 people to decide. We need to get them to vote on just shutting this down.
President Trump can move into this area
tonight, today.
You're ready to sell.
To him, if he's willing to live here full-time, make this his full-time home instead of Mar-a-Lago. Okay, hell, I can go to Mar-a-Lago and I don't have to worry about anything.
There's probably not going to be a data center right there.
Yeah, for sure.
The city council members will vote up or down on this project on Tuesday, August 19th. So continue to follow our coverage on More Perfect Union to see what happens next.
Now, I don't know what the outcome of that vote was. I have to dig more into it, but I wanted to show everyone the impact on that community. I love that last guy that's like, yeah, I'll go live at Mar-a-Lago. Trump can come live here next to this data center. and I just see these people and I really wanted to show that whole thing because those people are every single community. And a lot of those people were probably Trump voters. And I don't think that they expected that 440 acres of farmland would be taken over in secret because the government had an NDA in place. Absolutely no choice given to these people. They're just notified by the time it's pretty much too late. The council members are going to vote, not them. And watching them inside that building, trying to get answers, watching them packed together like sardines, going from table to table, these honorable, hardworking people, clearly, you know, some of them probably retired, worked their whole lives and currently working, trying to get answers about their community being absolutely destroyed. And it is destroying the communities because first and foremost, has anyone done any safety research on what these data centers are actually going to, what health impacts these data centers are going to have on the community? All of this, you know, this data, this power, these EMF that's probably going to be radiating throughout the entire town. Has any government official said this is the safety levels? They haven't even bothered to tell us the true safety levels of 5G. There was a time where I suppose Trump was talking about that. Not so much anymore. We don't know what the safety impacts are going to be, what the health impacts are going to be on this community of hardworking Americans who've worked their butts off their whole life, probably voted for President Trump, and now they just don't have a choice. This is being done in secret because the government made sure. NDA's in place. No one has to know about it until it's too late, and the community doesn't get one single say. And they're going, lining up all day, going from table to table and being shoved off like they've contacted an Indian call center that says, sorry, you reached the wrong department, you know, reaching this table. And they're like, oh, sorry, wrong table. You have to go line up for another hour over there to maybe get an answer. They get there, sorry, wrong table. These elderly people that care about their community, that want to make a difference, that are politically activated, that want to preserve their place where they live. They don't get a single say. Because the government made sure of it. Is this looking after people? Is this what people voted for? And mind you, we've had another announcement in Abilene. And I sent this tweet to the team as well. It's something that I posted about. So now, and I don't know, nothing against this gentleman, Spracklin. I don't know him personally, but he's posted... Eric Doherty. Wow, Vantage Data Centers just announced its largest ever investment into the United States of over $25 billion. This will go towards a new data campus in Texas for artificial intelligence, resulting in over 5,000 jobs. Another investment the experts said was impossible. Wow, awesome. Okay, so Abilene is where this is going, right outside Abilene, where residents already are subjected to water restrictions. Now, officially, the drought is over, but I will tell you, the city of Abilene has implemented a two-day-a-week watering schedule for all residents due to drought conditions. They even have a water conservation plan, where residents have been subjected to water restrictions, stringent water restrictions, for a very long time. So they have a two-day watering schedule. I'm just going off a Google search here, but you can actually see the city of Abilene's water conservation plan if you look it up. Residents are restricted to watering their lawns only twice a week. On odd-numbered addresses, watering is permitted on Thursdays and Sundays. On even-numbered addresses, watering is permitted on Tuesdays and Saturdays. As far as commercial, industrial, government, and schools, watering is allowed on Mondays and Fridays. They also have designated times, so you're allowed to water between midnight and 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. and midnight on the designated days. And other watering methods, you know, they talk about, handheld hoses, buckets, or drip irrigation systems for shrubs and trees and other things throughout other times of the day. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Well, people may say, yeah, of course, Texas has water restrictions all over the place. We, you know, water restrictions exist everywhere. Texas has been subjected to droughts time and time again. Yes, that's true. So why build a data center there? Why build a data center in a place that is going to guzzle up the water resources of residents that are already subjected to not being allowed to use the water that they probably need? They are being asked, condition yourselves, use less water, care for your community, but here's a data center that's going to guzzle it all up anyway. And if you're in Missouri, you don't get to know about it or say a damn thing. This is outrageous. This is absolutely outrageous. And what should be happening? And it's not, you know, we're not saying, well, we have to stop AI data centers because, you know, you can't. You can't stop the AI push of governments around the world. You can just mitigate the problems that it's going to bring. We have to recognize those problems are there in the first place. I mean, maybe we can stop it. I'd love to stop transhumanists and digital ID and all of these sorts of things. I'm going to obviously fight for those things. But what I'm saying is that this is already decided and it's set in motion. And so what we have to do first and foremost is focus on a local community level. And by the way, the residents of Tucson, Arizona, major win recently, stopped an Amazon data center. So it can be done. It can be done. But what they need to be doing is these AI companies, which by the way, make billions of dollars in profits, can use some of those billions and go and put their data centers next to water like the ocean, and then they can use their billions of dollars to set up a nice desalination plant where they can use that water for the cooling of the data centers. How about that? How about billionaires foot their own bill rather than going to places in secret, guzzling up the resources of those communities where their water bills shoot through the air, their electricity bills shoot through the air, absolutely every single bill on earth shoots through the air because of these data centers, and they don't get to say a thing about it. Rather than going to those places that are already water restricted, get your asses over to coastal areas and build your stupid data centers there. We don't need them in our local communities that are already subjected to restrictions on resources that really should be free for every man, woman and child. You know, water. We could have free energy if the governments would allow us. There's been free energy discussions for generations. We could have wells everywhere and people being more self-sufficient and relying less on the government. And of course, if you're in an urban area, that's not possible. And I understand that. But to stick these data centers in communities in secret and then subject people that are already subjected to water restrictions to further problems, it's crazy. It's kind of like Nestle and the huge scandal in San Bernardino, I think, National Park, where Nestle basically came in, was accused of coming in and completely stripping the residents' water supply. Bone dry. How can these corporations keep getting away with this? And this is globalism, ladies and gentlemen. This is globalism in action coming in. You know, you have BlackRock doing build to rent now, coming in, buying up homes, building homes that are intended for long-term, for lifetime rent, actually, building a generation of renters. We have a cost of living crisis. Young people can't afford to ever own homes for the most part. People are struggling. Wages aren't going up with the level of the rise of cost of living and inflation. It's just not matching up. Nothing's being changed. And then people can say, well, you know, the administration's working on some stuff and, you know, okay, well, you know, if we knew 6 months ago what the problem was and we're not seeing concrete steps to correct course, to make homes affordable for our youth, to make a future affordable for our youth, and what we're doing instead is rewarding these hardworking people who've spent their lives contributing to this country with secret data centers that are going to suck up their resources and further destroy future job opportunities, which then make humans irrelevant, which the solution proposed by the transhumanists is just get a brain chip. I mean, what is this? It's like we woke up in a bad sci-fi movie. Things are not improving. They're going down a more dystopian path, just with a new facade as it happens. And I'm sorry if me laying down the hard word here and the hard reality is upsetting some people, but I have to be honest with people. And what I've found, and I will say this to you, I just want to be completely honest with you here. What I've found about Americans is one of the greatest strengths of the American people is something that is consistently exploited and taken advantage of by the powers that be. You see, the American people are very trusting and honest people. It's actually a wonderful strength. It's because they themselves are good people. For the most part, I'm finding, at least in Central Texas, everyone here is a delight. A delight to be around. It's like you step back in time to when people were still normal, honest people. And I find that to be the American nature, or what I've experienced of it thus far anyway. But because they're honest and trustworthy and they don't expect that people are going to be shafting them or every which way they turn, because there is still a sense of community and trust in this nation, the powers that be continue to exploit that. And what I would say to the American people who have this amazing trait of being honest and hardworking and trusting people is don't let anyone pull the wool over your eyes. Especially the government that works for you, that you pay their wages to be doing things like this in secret behind your back, rewarding you in your retirement or in your prime years, wherever you are in your life, with secret data centers that are going to destroy your community. This is outrageous. It should outrage every single person. And this isn't just a problem in America. It's obviously going to happen in every single country, but we have a pertinent example right here in Missouri, which we just aired you. I hope that video upsets everyone. I really do. To the point where you get more involved in your local communities to make sure this doesn't happen. And it's not a foregone conclusion, by the way. Tucson, again, as I said, the residents of Tucson, Arizona, just defeated an Amazon data center. If Tucson, local communities in Tucson, can defeat a juggernaut like Amazon, I promise you your community can too. So we really have to be aware of what's happening at the higher levels and go back to that mentality of banding together as local communities, working with our cities, working with the local, you know, town hall or whatever it may be, and doing what's best for our communities, watching these steps. Go onto the globalcovenantofmayors.org website and see if your city's planning a smart city and start getting involved. Start getting involved in battling against some of these things. There is no reason why these billionaire corporations can't build their data centers along coastlines with desalination plants that they've footed the bill for. Absolutely no reason. On the other side, I'm going to tell you some more alarming things that are happening in the area of health and what we need to do about it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court, and got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it at that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30, you're a VIP, and when you want a t-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend 30, you get 40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it, cancel. It's one click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly, and that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning, and then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil? You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think, being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that? Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight? No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, and Riley was starting, and he was writing to the Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones in direct action. They said, here, here's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships, 2-3 times the size. It's a ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy's been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, to some other show, just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again for all of our collective futures to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. Shows tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. Molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on, total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Unveiling the truth behind the globalist curtain. Welcome to the war room.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your guest host, Maria Z of ZMedia.com. You can find me on X at ZEEE_media, filling in for the great Owen Schroyer. And I love the tinfoil hats. Get yours at thealexjonesstore.com. It's a really great, fun fundraiser for the InfoWars crew, which is, in my opinion, one of the most important free speech platforms that we have left on this earth. So definitely go in, support InfoWars, get your tinfoil hat kit, and they have a range of other supplements that are very, very important for your health and vitality. And I think there are some really great bonuses as well. When you sign up to be a VIP, you can think of it as a donation, or you get $40 off in store. And forgive me, team, I don't know if I've gotten that exactly right, but you get extremely good discounts when you're a VIP. And if you're planning on spending money regularly, it actually works out better to be a VIP. So you can support InfoWars that way as well. There we go. Yep. Select the 40% off VIP club discount. And you get a free $40 free store credit every month. There you go. I've been watching and listening to InfoWars, which I do regularly, and I love the team here. They're just such amazing, committed people. Now, I want to talk to you about something that is extremely alarming. We released a special report recently on Daily Pulse. As I mentioned, I work with the Vigilant Fox, and we have a daily show, and we actually were digging into this after a new announcement of this new universal vaccine that RFK Jr. was speaking about. So first we'll play you the clip of RFK Jr. announcing that universal vaccine from Shadow of Ezra. Here it is.
Right now we're developing a universal vaccine at NIH, which is a vaccine that addresses the entire phylum of viruses. And so it's a vaccine that mimics natural immunity. And it is effective against any kind of mutation, so it doesn't drive the virus to mutate. And it could be effective. We believe it's going to be effective against not only coronaviruses, but also flu. And it's going to be a much safer and much more effective vaccine.
Great. So that's horrific. So let me just say this. The first mention that I found about a universal vaccine was inside Biden's, during Biden's presidency, inside the Nanotechnology Initiative supplement to the president's budget of 2023. And they were talking about a universal vaccine in there. And they said it'll be a nanotechnology vaccine like the COVID vaccine. Now, there's been debate for a very long time about what exactly this particular nanotechnology was capable of. Does it have self-assembling properties? Does it create sensors inside your body, under your skin? And a lot of the scientific community have said, no, that's ridiculous. But Bill Gates just announced a new implantable chip that self-assembles under the skin, which is actually for, you know, I guess a contraceptive, but what it really is infertility. And it's, you know, the latest act in depopulation. So if they're announcing these types of things where you can get an injection and it self-assembles under the skin now, I would just say that that's been in place for a very, very long time. And of course, we know that Bar Ilan University in Israel, with their chief scientist Ido Bachelet, announced this type of technology back in 2013 on a TED talk. And then in 2015, he partnered with Pfizer, and Bar Ilan University partnered with Pfizer. Now, we don't know whether the self-assembling nanotechnology that Bar Ilan and Ido Bachelet were talking about were part of Pfizer's vaccine. We don't have evidence of it, but we do have a lot of people that have been digging into this for some time. Now, what I will say about this particular universal vaccine, as I said, I don't know if this is the same one that was mentioned in the supplemental budget, president's budget of 2023. It appears to be the same effort, because the plans for a universal vaccine have long been something that targets COVID and the flu together. I'm just gobsmacked that we're hearing this from RFK Jr., that he says it's going to be a lot more safe and everything's going to be great, guys. Okay, well, I'm not so sure about that, and I'll tell you why I'm not. First and foremost, the group Maha Action Group, who now says that that RFK Jr., I saw a tweet from them, and I don't want to misquote them, but essentially that RFK Jr. is under attack. The mainstream media is lying about him in relation to this next stage of the Maha report. But there's a particular article from The New Yorker which says that Casey Means was not addressing how these relatively minor changes balance out against other far more sweeping and consequential anti-Maha measures taken by the ostensibly pro-Maha Trump administration. The EPA, for instance, is seeking reapproval for banned pesticides, and they've also lowered standards on forever chemicals in the air, water, and soil. The Department of Agriculture ended two programs totaling almost $1 billion in funding that helped schools and food banks make purchases from local and organic farms. And although Means, who has no medical, nutrition or public health credentials, has said that he'd like to, also it must be talking about Cali, he'd like to fire every single nutrition scientist in the government, some of the more moderate Maha rank and file may also blanch at the DOGE-driven purging of USDA scientists and so on and so forth. Okay, so there's some things there that, you know, everyone agrees there needed to be a purge, there needed to be these sorts of things, but really, all we've had is, yeah, there's been some food dye banned, but we are actually seeking reapproval for banned pesticides. We're lowering the standards on forever chemicals in the air, water, and the soil. And Trump's DOJ, per Children's Health Defense, says that the EPA is going to appeal a landmark fluoride ruling. So you would all remember that the everyone was celebrating because we were going to eliminate fluoride in the water. Yeah, well, Trump's DOJ, the Trump administration is actually going to appeal that, meaning that, well, they already did. They filed that appeal on July 18th. So they want, I guess, to continue water fluoridation. And now we have this this universal vaccine. So I've sent the team through a few links into that. If you go to the NIH link, you see that they've launched this next generation universal vaccine platform for pandemic prone viruses. The post, by the way, that video that we just aired you was shared by the same group, Maha Action. That's why I brought them up before. And when I say, you know, when I started the broadcast and I said there is this weaponization of the fact that no one trusts the mainstream media anymore, therefore if they report on anything, we just assume it's all a lie. We just say, no, they're lying because it's the mainstream media. They're just attacking the heroes. And as in this case, it's just not true. And Maha Action, when they posted that announcement of RFK Jr. saying we're going to get a universal vaccine out there, it got up to almost 500,000 views the last time I saw it, and it was just hammering. People were just hammering. They actually end up deleting that video, that entire post. I wonder why. I mean, if you're so proud of this and it's going to be safer and all of these things, why wouldn't you just defend it and explain to all the people that are now giving you backlash why it's actually a good thing? But no, they deleted it. And you can actually see in this announcement, in paragraph 2, that the candidates are BPL-1357 and BPL-24910. So that's the platform of this vaccine. And when you actually go to the CDN website, which is, it's a government website, it covers the clinical trials, you can actually see the BPL-1357 phase 1, information on there. And it literally says in there that it is on page 15 that it is backed by Bill Gates. I will just go to page 15. Actually, let me do a search. Bill Gates. And I will, if the team can't find it, I will actually bring it up for everyone. Maybe it's easier if, have they found it? I don't know if you can see that on there. So it's on page 15 of the PDF, and it says that preclinical development of a novel universal vaccine, influenza vaccine candidate, which offers broad protective efficacy against a wide variety of IAV subtypes and strains in mice and ferrets. Preclinical development and good manufacturing practice, production of the vaccine have been facilitated by a gift fund from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to the NIAID. So the people, the person responsible, or the organization responsible for funding this new universal vaccine that RFK Jr. has announced, is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, given Bill Gates's history, I'm not really sure how RFK Jr., who wrote an entire book about Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates, is now proudly announcing this new vaccine that apparently is going to be safer, even though Bill Gates has been involved in funding it. I don't know if someone can find me one safe thing that Bill Gates has funded, I'd be more than happy to reconsider my position on the guy that said if we do a really good job with vaccines, we can lower the population. Maybe he's changed his position on that. Maybe he doesn't want to lower the population anymore. Maybe overnight Bill Gates has become someone that says, you know what, I'm going to start funding safe vaccines for everyone, but I'm just not convinced. And I'm pretty surprised to see that the guy who wrote the book on this guy and on Anthony Fauci, meaning RFK Jr., is now proudly announcing this. It's actually extremely disturbing, but it gets more disturbing. So the lead scientist, or one of the scientists that is credited with the development of this BPL vaccine platform, is called Dr. Jeffrey Tallenberger. And I've actually sent the team a link to the paper that he co-authored back in December of 2021. It was posted in the New England Journal of Medicine. Crew, if you have that link. And it says, Universal Coronavirus Vaccines, an Urgent Need. And you can see in that paper, all the way back in 2021, Jeffrey Tallenberger was calling for this universal vaccine. And if you pay attention to who else co-authored that paper, it was Anthony Fauci. So hang on a minute. We're expecting that we're going to make America safe again. We're going to have a thorough review of vaccines. We know that the head of the HHS wrote a book talking about Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, everything that they've done to co-opt public health worldwide and all the harm that these people have done in the world. But when now that same head of the HHS is saying we're rolling out this universal vaccine that is funded by Bill Gates, and one of the lead scientists is this guy that wrote a paper with Anthony Fauci about this very vaccine. I don't know, are we living in the Twilight Zone or what's going on here? Where we're fighting the fluoride in water ban, we're reducing the forever chemical limits in the sky, in the water, in the soil, we're getting more vaccines from Bill Gates and you know, a guy that's tied to Fauci. I'm not really sure what to tell you guys. I'm not really sure what to tell you guys, but this is pretty much a nightmare. And as I said, when I aired this report, I said, this is a crime scene waiting to happen. And of course, if we see no accountability for the COVID era, which it's clear there's going to be none, President Trump recently again just said that everything about Operation Warp Speed was fantastic. It was great. Everything. There are presumably estimated over 40 million people dead due to that injection. I can't see that there's going to be any accountability anytime soon for the COVID crimes. So it makes sense that Bill Gates would still be funding injections of this nature and getting away with it. It's very, very disturbing. And when you have a look at the NIH's own website, which I've also sent to the team, the BPL platform, or B-propiolactone, actually says on the NIH's own website that this is reasonably anticipated to be a human carcinogen. B-propiolactone is reasonably anticipated to be a human carcinogen based on sufficient evidence of carcinogenicity from studies in experimental animals. So that's what it says, and they actually stopped the use of it as a sterilant in medical procedures or in food because of the potential exposure to cancer. It actually says in here, under the guidelines, it tells people, sorry, under the safe and healthy guidelines, it literally says that you have to control its airborne exposure. BPL should not be used or stored except by competent persons under laboratory conditions approved by nationally recognized agency acceptable to the secretary. And underneath that, under occupational health and safety, it literally says potential occupational carcinogen. Engineering controls, work practices, and personal protective equipment are required when dealing with BPL. But this is the platform of this new vaccine that RFK Jr. is talking about, that Bill Gates has funded and Anthony Fauci was calling for in a paper with the lead scientist who's helped develop this. Not good, folks. Not good. And what we have in this instance, unlike Operation Warp Speed and the COVID mRNA injections, where it just sort of came out and not many people were looking for this at the time. We now have the gift of hindsight, and we have the gift of foresight now. We have researchers that are actually looking into these things and able to warn us ahead of time. And that's someone that's going to also be joining us in the next hour, in the next few minutes. We've got John Fleetwood, an incredible researcher, coming on to talk to us about these advancements of gain of function, the NIH's funding, US, Japanese, Egyptian, and Austrian labs that are engineering a new chimera hybrid H5N1 bird flu virus, which has been proven to be 100% deadly in animals. And then we also have the NIH funding a creation of a chimeric H5N1 virus that replicates in human lung cells, resisting Tamiflu and evolves to evade vaccines. And by the way, they're letting them do it outside of BSL-3 lab containment. So these are the types of things that went on in Wuhan that led to the quote unquote lab leak, or, you know, purposeful lab leak, or whatever version of that narrative they want us to believe. But this is the type of Frankenstein stuff that went on in Wuhan that we know well in advance that the COVID injections were developed. Moderna had a patent years before we actually rolled out the COVID shots and Operation Warp Speed and all of these things. And so what we're seeing now is the potential for something like that to come in the very near future, or even much later down the track. The question really is, why is the government still funding gain of function research when they promised that they wouldn't be anymore? Well, if you recall the time of that promise that they were ending gain-of-function research, I actually got John Fleetwood on at the time, and we explained to people that it wasn't an ending of gain-of-function research. It was actually an expansion of it. They were expanding gain-of-function, and now there was going to be the use of AI and synthetic viruses and all of this sort of really dystopian stuff that just fits in perfectly with the AI data centers and digital ID. Just going back to what we were talking about in the very beginning, you may say, well, I'm never going to get this universal vaccine. What do I care? Well, you should care that someone in a position of power who was supposed to be making America healthy again is announcing a vaccine that was funded by Bill Gates. You should absolutely care about that. The vaccine whose scientists credited with the work on the platform wrote a paper with Anthony Fauci several years ago that this is what was needed. You should absolutely care about that. And you should absolutely be questioning the motives of those who were elected, who were paid by your tax dollars to represent your best interests, no matter who's in charge. But some may say, well, why should I care? I'm never going to get this. Okay, you may never, but there's the problem of shedding. And if you saw recently, the FDA has approved these new injections for animals, for your pets, that are shedding onto humans, that could kill humans through the shedding on pets. They also fast-tracked an saRNA, Arcturus, earlier this year. They also approved COVID injections for the latest Moderna booster for babies 6 months and up. That's still happening. Apparently that was done without RFK Jr.'s approval, but the action hasn't been rolled back. It's still happening. And pediatricians are still recommending these injections. So you should absolutely care about those things, because everyone that's still getting these injections, including for their pets, can shed onto you. And short of living as a hermit in a cave in the middle of the woods, absolutely, you know, never seeing another human being again, I'm not really sure how you can avoid it, because every time you go to the store, you could be exposed to this. Every time you go to, you get a package delivered. You don't know who was in that van. You don't know who was handling a box. How long does it stay with the ability to shed onto you? Well, we think they haven't bioengineered it to stay longer on surfaces to make sure it sheds. These things matter. And so therefore, for all the talk of no mandates, well, where is my informed consent anyway if every Tom, Dick and Harry is potentially going to shed onto me with the latest Frankenstein nonsense? And that is what the ACAM 2000 package insert says, by the way, which was also approved by the FDA under the previous administration, literally says, may cause death to the unvaccinated. As in, someone who gets that injection may come into contact with someone who's unvaccinated and it can kill them, the unvaccinated person. That's the kind of shedding we have these days, ladies and gentlemen. So I think it matters. I think it matters if we're still approving and working on these types of injections. I really do think it matters. And this is just, yeah, this is the possible adverse event outcomes for recipients of the COVID shots. But what about something like the ACAM 2000, which was approved, that says literally just coming into contact with someone who's unvaccinated, it can kill them, or it can kill the baby that's inside a pregnant mother's belly. It literally says that. It tells the people they have to quarantine for 28 days after they get the shot to make sure they don't kill some unsuspecting vaccinated person they come into contact with. These are the types of weaponry that we are dealing with now, and they are still in production and circulation and being researched, and none of it has stopped. In fact, funds are being redirected back to Bill Gates, and I have an expose coming out about that next week. But after the break, we have researcher John Fleetwood joining us to talk about this gain of function. He's all over it. He's been exposing this for some time, and it matters because the BPL vaccine platform we just told you about happens to have four strains of the bird flu in it. Don't go anywhere. John Fleetwood joins us after this short break.
We need funds. We're fighting the globalists at point blank range. And they got a receivership hearing with Judge Gloria Gamble that ran the Texas show trial next week to send the sheriffs here. I get it could be within days next Wednesday to shut us down. And I'm sure we'll get lots of funds then once we're shut down. Be like, oh God, he really did need help. Oh yeah. We have been battling and battling and barely surviving. They turned the internet off here before. They had a fake sale to Bloomberg's front group. Remember all that? And it was because we didn't give up and the crew didn't give up. When I told the crew, no, we're going to beat this, don't go. And I stayed here and slept here a couple times. That we're still here. And because you bought the products, we had enough money for lawyers to go battle it and beat it. Everybody listening needs to get off the fence, get off the bench, get up at the plate, and needs to go become a VIP. $30 a month. See it as a donation. You get $40 each month to spend the store. Sales on top of everything. Special deals. Special offers just to you. It's insane. And then if you really just want to support and you don't want methylene blue or turmeric, you're crazy if you don't, or Ultimate Life Force, the best cardiovascular spike protein detox, everybody should be taking it. I mean, it's the best. Ultimate Life Force is the best cardiovascular, heart health, spike protein detoxer. Every man, woman, and child should take at least one regimen of it, see how you feel. It does dramatic things. We have the strongest turmeric. You should get it. And I got a lot of news to cover. I won't sit here and beat a dead horse, but the news we get out is so powerful, and it's that less than 1% of people that buy stuff at theauctionstore.com that make all this possible. And this fight is your fight. They want us off the air because they want to shut down focal points of organizations that hold the Trump administration's feet to the fire and warn Trump and warn his advisors and have a big effect and big pull, as the administrations have said and as the Democrats have said. They've come after Trump. They've sued Trump. They've had their operatives in there, and they see our stuff everywhere. Step into the zone of history and understand that you are the key. You are the variable. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. And this dog don't hunt without you.
Researcher John Fleetwood, you're going to be shocked at the information that he's about to reveal to you. John, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Maria.
It's great to have you. Well, I am, as you might have just heard, we've been talking a little bit about the new universal vaccine that RFK Jr. was recently announcing. What I didn't mention in that segment was that the BPL-1357 platform actually contains four different low pathogenicity avian flu influenza A viruses, which is H1N9, H3N8, H5N1, and H7N3. So right before this first break, talk us through what your research has revealed.
So I've been painstakingly tracking what next pandemic will be launched. And for about 2 years, I've been convinced it will be bird flu, not chikungunya, not monkeypox, not Ebola, not the measles. Though, you know, it could be one of those things. I'm like 99% sure it will be bird flu. And the reason for that is all the orchestration that's happening. You talked about RFK Jr. He's been doing a great job I mean, I did an article the other day where I was just listing the 12 things, boom, 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 you know, taking us out of the WHO pandemic agreement. That was a great thing. Pulling some of these toxic materials out of the vaccines for kids. That was a great thing. He canceled 22 mRNA vaccine projects, right? And it's like, great. It's like, oh, well, all the mRNA projects are done with. At least that's how a lot of the mainstream media, sort of influencer types are playing this. But he didn't cancel all of them. It was only 22. And the projects that he happened to allow to continue was one that's being carried out by the company Arcturus Therapeutics. And that very vaccine is for none other than bird flu. It's not for COVID. It's not for Ebola or monkeypox. It's for bird flu. And, you know, the Trump administration said that they pulled us out of the WHO, and that got a lot of limelight, but that we have been participating in WHO, these sort of pandemic scenario, conferences that specifically have to do with bird flu. You have the Biden administration, this spans both administrations. And I'm not saying like Trump's doing this on purpose. I'm not saying that at all. Or RFK is doing this on purpose. They might just not know that they are orchestrating the next bird flu pandemic. If you rewind to the beginning of 2023, you had, you know, Biden's omnibus bill, and that allocated over $1 billion to a zoonotic influenza future pandemic. Zoonotic meaning it, you know, jumps from species to species. And influenza, which is exactly what bird flu, H5N1, avian influenza is, that was $1 billion with a B. So the U.S. was already planning for this way back in 2024 financially to put $1 billion into it. And they've done multi-hundred-million-dollar contracts for bird flu. If you look at Trump's next-generation gold standard vaccine development platform, which is meant to develop two vaccines, it was $500 million, Maria. That's $500 million that they're pumping into creating just two vaccines. And what were those vaccines for? They're for bird flu. And those are being touted as like a whole virus platform. Obviously, you have to move away from the bad press with the mRNA, with the myocarditis and the plasmids with the SV40 inside. You got to, you know, get the spotlight off of that, away from the mRNA platform and onto, you know, these whole virus platforms. But nevertheless, these whole virus platforms that are being used in Trump's gold standard vaccine push are for none other than bird flu. Paints the picture that
okay, pause
Trump
right there, John.
Is orchestrating it.
We're coming up against a break. I want to continue on the other side. This is so important. We have the potential to stop this. We need to pay attention. Stay tuned.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
The program that strikes fear into the heart of the elite. It's the War Room.
We are back with John Fleetwood at John M. Fleetwood on X. You can also find his Substack at John Fleetwood.com. I recommend it to absolutely everyone because out of everyone I know that digs into this stuff, I've found him to be one of the most thorough researchers when it comes to next-gen injections, pandemics, all of this sort of stuff. And while everyone thinks, well, I don't think they'll get away with another pandemic, just think back to what we spoke about at the start of the broadcast with digital ID, and that's a way to get vaccines linked to, you know, your compliance, your ability to do commerce and trade and all of the things that we spoke about in the first hour. So, John, please continue what you were saying. You said that potentially the administration doesn't know that they're accelerating this or funding this. I'm happy to give them the benefit of the doubt, but unfortunately, when it comes to RFK Jr., I just don't believe that he's that incompetent that he doesn't know that this latest vaccine that his NIAID is developing, that he's approving, wasn't funded by Bill Gates. I can't accept that. And if he is that incompetent, then we need someone else. I'll just say that straight up. But please go on.
Well, there's also blackmail, right? And, you know, extortion and threatening. And so we have no idea what RFK Jr. is up against, what Trump is up against. And when I, until I see something that shows me otherwise, I'll hold my, I don't know, judging of what they're doing. But so I'm going to have to assume that RFK just doesn't know that the very company whose contract he just allowed to continue, though he canceled 22 other mRNA projects, is the bird flu one. And I'm going to have to assume he doesn't think that that's a very, you know, significant thing, given that the U.S., the Trump admin is still participating in these WHO pandemic scenarios specifically for none other than bird flu. I'm sure I'm going to have to assume he doesn't think those are connected to all of the NIH-funded bird flu gain-of-function research that they say they're doing. You know, a lot of my readers get mad at me because I talk about viruses a lot. And I actually have to put in the word, you know, purported virus. I have to use words like that. And I'm happy to, because so many people now believe in this thing called terrain theory, where, you know, maybe they think that viruses, at least as the mainstream has explained them to us, maybe the whole story's not there. So they follow this terrain theory that maybe it's toxins or something else doing it to our bodies. And the antibodies we produce to these so-called viruses are just antibodies to toxins. Dr. Garrett Smith on X is a good source of information for that. So is Dr. Sam Bailey, and she's on YouTube. But I'm going to have to assume, I'm just going to read what they say they're doing in these papers. Cause you can go on, this is what I do all day. I just go onto PubMed. I type in either avian influenza or H5N1 or bird flu, or a lot of times just Gates Foundation, and hit enter. Cause you always get something good when you do that. And there is every single day, there is a new publication about some sort of gain-of-function-like experiment on bird flu. They're calling it reverse genetics now. I'm noticing they're moving away from, like, we're saying this thing gains the function of increased, you know, pathogenicity or increased host cell region. That's a thing. And I mention that because just a lot of people aren't aware of this stuff. You read these papers, and it's like even the measles vaccine virus, the thing that, you know, I got when I was a kid, and a lot of people got when they were kids, and it's actually created with gain of function. They call it cell passaging, and but what function did it gain? This whole virus in the MMR vaccine, it gained an enhanced host cell range. It's called CD150. To CD46. It stands for cluster of differentiation. And what that means is the so-called wild type measles virus, they passaged it over and over again. And that virus can only infect a certain amount of human cells. And it's a relatively small amount in the human body. But after they perform these experiments on the measles virus that goes into the measles vaccine, it then gained the function of being able to bind to these CD46 receptors, which are abundant. It's like in every cell in your body. So they took a purported.
And so now they're,
you know what?
Sorry, go on. I want to talk about the current things that they're doing, but just finish your point and then we'll talk about these two major things that you discovered.
It's just the fact that you can read, you can get a lot of information out of the National Library of Medicine that will just blow people's minds. If you look for it, and you know how to find, if you know how to look for it. And what I'm finding every single day are studies that show that they are absolutely performing this gain of function, reverse genetics, whatever they call it, specifically on bird flu viruses. They're doing it in the US. They're doing it in Japan. They're doing it in China. They're doing it in Brazil, Austria. I just reported today in South Korea. They're especially working on the enhancing these bird flu pathogens. So you have exactly what you have, Maria. You have this Hegelian dialectic at play where you have a problem reaction solution set up. That's how it was with COVID. With Moderna, DARPA created the spike protein genetic sequence. And lo and behold, when the, you know, natural virus escaped or the man-made virus, you know, came out and hit us, that spike protein virus on the purported wild virus that came out in 2019 matched perfectly with Moderna's patent in 2016 for that very same, you know, nucleotide sequence. And it was published in Frontiers that was like a 1 in 3 trillion chance that that's even possible, that the very spike protein the military and Moderna were working on back in 2012, 2013 matched perfectly with this, you know, wild virus that escaped from a wet market somewhere.
Well, that's very important. The team just brought up the NIH-funded U.S., Japanese, Egyptian, and Austrian labs engineer new chimera hybrid H5N1 bird flu virus, 100% deadly in mammals. And that first paragraph that you wrote there says that a new BioRxiv preprint made available online earlier this month confirms that the same network of labs long tied to dangerous gain of function or reverse genetics or reverse engineering as that Pfizer gentlemen called it experiments have just announced the creation of a new engineered bird flu chimera virus with 100% lethality in mice. And the project is funded by U.S. federal agencies and carried out by an international consortium of virology heavyweights in the U.S., Japan, Egypt, Austria. What are we doing? This is the same as what was happening with COVID.
This is going on everywhere. It's happening everywhere, with specifically for bird flu. And I've used artificial intelligence, multiple artificial intelligence systems, even though like jailbroken ones. And they say you're not finding any kind of movement in this gain of function style work other than what you're finding with bird flu. It's happening everywhere. It's being orchestrated worldwide. If they deploy something on us, it just has to be bird flu. And this isn't like, I don't report this. It's a crazy headline, right? Like NIH-funded U.S., Japanese, Egyptian, so there's Egypt too, and Austrian labs engineer new chimera hybrid H5N1 bird flu virus 100% deadly in mammals. That sounds really hyperbolic. And you think, oh, he picked that one because it happened to be especially hyperbolic and maybe it was printed this month. No, that wasn't the reason. The reason is they're all like this. Every single, I don't publish it. I won't write what I don't want to read, and who wants to read, you know, something boring? I'm only going to publish it if this is like crazy stuff. I don't write with any hyperbole in my headlines. It's 100% deadly, not because I guess, but because they said it. These peer-reviewed researchers who don't just come out of nowhere, you know, they come out of, you know, Mount Sinai in New York. This was Scripps Research Institute, some of these authors. And by the way, Scripps Research Institute, on the authors of this paper that we're talking about right now in this article, Scripps Ranch in California has also been doing work with bird flu viruses. So they're doing work over there. They use these very same scientists will then come work and do these other experiments with all these other researchers, like at Scripps or at University of Wisconsin-Madison, at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, University of Tokyo, Cairo University. These aren't, you know, we're not making this up. This is in peer review. This specific one was a preprint in BioRxiv. But it's still, I mean, they're bona fides. Anybody who tries to knock this, you know, probably won't have better, bona fides than these researchers. Unfortunately, they're moving full steam ahead. People think because Trump signed that executive order about gain of function a little while ago that, oh, the U.S. has stopped doing gain of function. I get so many comments like that. No, we stopped doing it. No, we stopped doing it. No, it doesn't. If you read the fine print, if you just read the executive order on the White House website, it leaves this clause for exemptions. Anybody can just ask for an exemption and then they get to do their gain of function research so long as it's approved. So Trump's executive order, this is just another, you know, credit where credit's due and then we'd be critical. We should be critical of Trump right now. And this is something we should be very critical of. He should stop all gain of function. There's no reason we should be doing reverse genetics and enhancing the pathogenicity of anything.
And when you and I had that conversation, it wasn't just the exemption, but it was also the fact that it was banning the old way of doing gain of function, presumably, but not necessarily the new way, which is using AI and bioengineered viruses and synthetic viruses. So now we're moving to the next phase of gain of function with, or, you know, reverse genetics or whatever you want to call it. It's playing God and playing Frankenstein, to synthetic viruses. I just want to mention one thing because I want to make sure people know where to follow you. I made a typo when I sent your X profile to the crew. It's John, J-O-N-M. Fleetwood on X. That's your handle. But please do go on, John. I do also want to talk to you about the NIH funding the creation of a chimeric H5N1 that replicates in human lung cells, resists Tamiflu, and evolves to evade vaccines. And on top of that, we're doing it outside of BSL-3 containment.
I just don't get why this is so complicated for anyone or why anyone would argue against it. We just had the COVID pandemic. And if you go by the mainstream numbers, you have what 1.2, 1.3 million Americans dead from this virus that was made in a lab. And then you look at the 40,000 deaths that have been linked to the COVID jab, according to the Centers for Disease Control, you know, vaccine adverse event reporting system. The government's own system says about 40,000. But then if you look at that HHS, Harvard Pilgrim report, when it analyzed VAERS, it said it looks like VAERS only captures about less than 1% of actual adverse events. It says that verbatim in this Harvard Pilgrim study by Dr. Lazarus, also from, you know, Harvard University. And if that's true, then you have to take any number that VAERS gives us and put two zeros after it, multiply it by 100. So if we're getting 40,000 deaths linked to the COVID jab, you put two zeros after that, you get closer to 4 million. You have, you know, Rancourt et al. Up in Canada, they put, 17 million deaths worldwide from the COVID jab. Wherever you want to put it, do you want to start it at 40,000? Do you want to go to the 4 million? Do you want to go between those? This is way more death from a drug than other drugs have been, you know, pulled off the shelf for. Okay, we're potentially at 4 million. So you've got the COVID virus that was man-made that caused about 1 million deaths. And then you've got the countermeasure for that that also added to the American loss of life, unfortunately. So if that's what happens when you do gain of function research on a virus, which it's been confirmed by the White House. That's a great thing the Trump administration has done. They came out and bold very quickly did that gorgeous website where they talked about the COVID pandemic. They admitted that this looks like it had a man-made origin. But before that, you had the COVID Select Subcommittee. It confirmed this likely originated from risky lab tinkering. You've got the Department of Energy saying the very same thing. You've got the CIA saying the very same thing. You've got the FBI saying the very same thing. You've got government agencies from all around the world saying that the COVID virus was made in a lab. It was a lab leak. And if that's the case, why are we doing any kind of gain of function whatsoever? That to me is, you know, period, signed, sealed, delivered. There's no reason to be doing any gain of function, reverse engineering, whatever you want to call it, tinkering with these pathogens, combining them into these Frankenstein, you know, chimeras that have never existed before in nature, have these new traits that have never existed in nature. And we just literally came out of a COVID pandemic. There's no reason there shouldn't be a moratorium. There's no argument against that in my opinion. I don't know, Maria, can you tell me? I mean, what would somebody say in response to that? All the American deaths from the virus itself and the vaccine. How do you argue that?
Even putting the harm aside, which is of course the number one issue, but all of the issues that every single country has been facing worldwide with the economy, with the cost of living, with every other problem that came out of COVID, how many businesses were destroyed. It literally stopped the world economy. It ruined the trajectory of the world. I mean, it achieved exactly what they wanted it to, but all the arguments for why we shouldn't have a repeat of that are pretty strong. Children locked down, children not going to school, people, you know, walking around with nappies on their faces. I mean, it's restaurants down, hospitality down. How many people lost their livelihoods during that time? There's just, and on top of that, which is the most important part, just all the lives lost and all of the family members that are lost or permanently disabled now because of the countermeasures. I mean, it's just madness to me that we would still be doing this, but I think it's really important that we talk about it, John, because people think it isn't. Like you said, people in your comments say, no, we stopped gain of function. No, we didn't. We haven't right. stopped gain of function. We haven't stopped Frankenstein vaccines, and we actually haven't stopped working with Bill Gates either. So how about we face the facts and figure out what the heck is going on here, because this is not what the people were promised. I want to go over in the next few minutes that we have with you, John, this latest article. We did mention this on our report, this NIH funding the creation of chimeric H5N1 virus that replicates in human lung cells, resists Tamiflu, and evolves to evade vaccines outside of BSL-3 containment. So not only are we allowing these labs to continue, but we're now allowing this research to continue outside of these labs. Am I reading this right?
Yeah, and this is, you know, a peer-reviewed study published in the National Library of Medicine. This is coming out of the Journal of Virology, which published a new study that described the creation of what the authors call this recombinant VSV expressing the hemagglutinin and neuraminidase NA genes, H5N1. And then it's a combination of this Michigan strain. So in plain terms, the researchers say they took the outer surface proteins. I'm not saying this is like actually what happened. I'm just saying this is what they're saying they're doing. They took the outer surface of proteins from the current highly pathogenic bird flu virus construct and fused them into a live replication competent vesicular stomatitis virus VSV backbone. So again, this is more, they take little pieces of this virus and combine it with that virus and then stick it on the backbone of this one. So this is, you know, it replicates in human lung cells at extremely high titers, which, you know, it gained that function that the other viruses didn't have before. So this is more gain of function, just by another word. It keeps, you know, the same cleavage site from the H5N1 virus. But this is the thing. This is the scary thing, is it's resistant to common antiviral drugs. Mm-hmm. According to the paper, it says that both of these viruses that they were making showed reduced sensitivity to one of these really popular antivirals. And in plain language, the paper claims that this chimeric virus displayed a reduced susceptibility to Tamiflu, which is the go-to antiviral for influenza, similar to, you know, drug-resistant strains found in nature. And again, like, I didn't pick this, Maria, because it had these alarming traits. It's just, you can look to any of these bird flu studies and they're all like this. They're all just as terrifying. And they couch it in these terms of, well, we're creating a vaccine for it. And you think, oh, well, that, you know, a vaccine, it's like, you know, a healthy thing. So it has to be good for us. But when you read the fine print, use AI if you have to, just drag and drop one of these papers into a, you know, ChatGPT or something and tell it to, you know, put it in layman's terms. All of these that they're doing with bird flu, none of them are benign. And they're all insane like this. They're literally stitching together purported viruses. And if that, you know, terrain theory is true, who knows what this is that they're making. Yeah. But they're saying
we have to consider.
It always has to do with bird flu, which is very, you know, telling, I think.
Absolutely it is. And we also have to consider the synthetic aspect. What they said in that gain of function announcement that essentially said, yeah, but we're still going to let the synthetic stuff happen and proliferate. And what it actually wasn't was an expansion of, you know, this AI synthetic virus symbiosis to create even worse things in the future. And so I think, you know, first and foremost, John, thank you for all your work. Thank you for making people aware of this. I think it's so vital that people understand this is still going on. And like I said at the outset, we now have the gift of both hindsight and foresight, where people weren't necessarily expecting COVID. Now we're looking over our shoulders at all times for things that look similar to what they've used against us in the past. And this looks like it. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not saying it may, you know, happen at all, but there's surely a lot of money. And we're talking in the billions going towards vaccines. We have RFK Jr. talking about these vaccines for bird flu. That BPL platform is bird flu. We have the gain of function or reverse genetics going into bird flu. And so all the warning signs are there. Thank you so much, John, for your time again. You can find John on X at John M. Fleetwood. That's J-O-N-M Fleetwood. And also on Substack, johnfleetwood.com. Highly recommend following him. As I said, I don't know many people at all that are doing this kind of research anymore, because sadly, a lot of people think this isn't still going on, which is why it's so important to tell people that it is. Thank you again, John, for coming on. After the break, we're going Thank you. After the break, we're going to take some calls. I want to spend the last 30 minutes or so speaking to people, seeing what you all think about all of this, hearing your concerns. The number to call, if the team can tell me before the commercial break in my ear, I think I know it, but if you can tell me in my ear, that would be great. I would prefer to talk about the topics we spoke about today, but the phone line is open. There it is, 877-789-2539. That is the number, 877-789-2539. Call in, and we'll talk after the break. Again, prefer to talk about these topics, but by all means, call and talk about whatever you'd like for the next 30 minutes. I'll try to get through at least a few calls there and just see what the temperature is out there. I really, really hope that people understand that we are absolutely still in the battle of our lives, and we have to band together with the truth. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court. And got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it at that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexshowstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30. You're a VIP, and when you want a T-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it, because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend 30, you get 40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit, who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything, to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it, cancel. One click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly, and that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning, and then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil? You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that? Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight? No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy. Riley was starting, and he was writing to the Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones and direct action. They said, here, here's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships, 2-3 times the size. It's a ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy's been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So, support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, just some other show, just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again for all of our collective futures to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The program that strikes fear into the heart of the elite. It's the War Room.
Welcome back. We are in the last 30 minutes of the War Room, taking your calls. Again, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're going to try and get through at least a few calls before we wrap up for the day. It's been an absolute honor being here with you guys and filling in for Owen Troyer. I'm very grateful for the work of Owen and Harrison and Alex and the whole InfoWars crew, and just really want to encourage everyone to continue supporting InfoWars. Head to thealexjonesstore.com. Subscribe, become a VIP, take advantage of that amazing program that they have, which is, if you're going to be ordering on the regular anyway, you might as well take advantage of the 40% off all orders. If you guys can bring that up again, I just want to make sure I don't get that wrong. 40% off if you're a VIP. And this is the number one way to keep Alex on air. It's $30. VIP members get, $40 free store credit every single month and 10 to 40% off everything in the store 24/7, 365 days a year. So very important to support InfoWars. And again, if you're going to be ordering regularly, why not take advantage of that $40 free store credit? It ends up being better for you if you subscribe and become a VIP. And I just want to really remind everyone before the calls come through of what we spoke about at the start, which was that we are seeing a level of psychological operation that I think is infinitely more intense than we saw during the COVID era. There was a lot of demonization of people who weren't complying, and that was, it was clear who the enemy was. But now we have this web of AI and bots and, you know, sometimes faceless, sometimes not faceless. Sometimes they're people who are literally pushing a certain narrative, refusing to be critical thinkers, encouraging, I mean, leading people down this path of not critically thinking. It is very alarming to me. I've always said, as a broadcaster, as a journalist, please don't just accept what I say as mere fact and mere truth. Please go and fact check me. Check what I'm saying. If it seems that I'm, you know, pushing people towards a certain way. I'm always very careful of that, because my hope is to help people to be critical thinkers. That's what we want first and foremost. We want people to be able to, without the need for someone to tell them what's what, figure things out for themselves. And I'll have to say one thing, which is that I am very encouraged in my daily dealings with people that they are starting to notice that something is not quite right. The Epstein saga obviously was one of the biggest points for people, and Congressman Massey at the moment is going to be reintroducing that topic into the public sphere very, very soon. So I am very much looking forward to that battle ahead, because this is something that we do need transparency over. Please look at the information that we told you about today, review it, share it, get people involved so that they know to keep an eye out for this stuff. And most importantly, being very linked to their local communities where they can actually stop things like data centers coming in, taking all their resources and everything we spoke about today. We have Julie in Maryland on the phone. Julie, you are on the air.
It's a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you for taking my phone call. So my question is, while listening to Mr. Fleetwood, what are my options to protect myself? I mean, if you're going to tell me I'm H1N1, the bird flu is what's coming next, what do I do? Tell me.
That's a fantastic question, Julie. The reality is I don't have that answer, because of the fact that this is all being done under the radar. It's, again, something that's being hidden from the American people, from people all around the world. It's not, you know, when they do their announcements about all this great stuff that they're doing, they're not saying, oh, by the way, we're also engineering bird flu to be 100% deadly in mammals. It's just not being announced. And so what we need is really the scientific community right now to be saying, okay, there is this engineering of bird flu. There's this universal vaccine that they're promoting for bird flu. What's going on here, and how do we get ahead of this? This is the whole purpose of this broadcast, because I'm sure, Julie, that you and many others who heard this were probably hearing it for the first time today.
Well, I don't know, but it's a question for you. If they developed a vaccine against this, would you under any circumstances ever take it?
I don't take vaccines for a myriad of reasons, Julie. I don't take them for religious reasons. I'm against all vaccination, but I also would never take any of these newly engineered vaccines just for common sense reasons. I wouldn't do it. The problem that we do have, though, is once a digital ID is embedded, I don't know if you caught it. I was actually guest hosting Alex's show in October of last year, I believe it was, and I was talking about the National Blueprint for Biodefense. And in that document, they said that, you know, they spoke about a scenario where there would be a bioterror attack from a foreign nation, and that would create, you know, a pandemic. And essentially the option would be to start, you know, in order to prepare for this and future events, we'd have to start mailing people their vaccines. USPS would have to, you know, get these mail-in vaccines, and people would have to self-administer. And of course, with the technology that they have, they can actually track whether you've self-administered. Well, they're doing that now with flu mist. They're actually now shipping flu mist to people's doors and saying, we can administer this to children. So, I mean, it's pretty serious, Julie. It's pretty serious. And no, I would not take any of their vaccines.
Okay, just let me say, I don't either. I don't take them. I don't take vaccines either. But if anybody can, you know, besides selenium and zinc and vitamin A and vitamin D, that's the big one. Okay, well, I appreciate your time.
Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do, Julie. I vow to you that I will look into this more, and I will try and get some doctors and experts. I mean, the medical stuff is information that I've been covering throughout my journalistic career. I will do that, and we'll have it up on X and our Rumble at some point in the very near future, talking about bird flu specifically. I will do my very best to get someone on about that and what people can do preemptively to protect against it. You know, I didn't come here today with those answers, but I will get them. All right, Julie, thank you so much for your call. We have Adam in Fort Worth. Adam, you are on the air.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
My question is,
Is there a link between the vaccinations, like the COVID vaccine and the vaccines of Roma and Parkinson's disease? Do you know any? I have a friend that got the vaccine, and he has Parkinson's disease, and he's convinced the vaccine gave him Parkinson's disease because it just happened right after, about 6 months after the vaccine, when it was administered.
Yes, Adam, there are known links to Parkinson's disease, and there was a very, very early on a fantastic scientist out of MIT, Dr. Stephanie Seneff, who was saying that what she was seeing in terms of neurodegenerative diseases coming from this COVID injection was very similar markers to things like Parkinson's and even, you know, going all the way to mad cow. I mean, there were many, many different markers that were similar to these types of diseases. So basically, yes, the short answer is the COVID injection has been anecdotally, and there are also some papers about the fact that it has either spurred on or accelerated some of these neurodegenerative diseases. What can be done about that? You would, again, I would have to go back into my archives to see what Stephanie Seneff told me at the time. The reality is we haven't really seen any commitment from any government to properly helping these people who are COVID injection injured. It's like they've just been forgotten. But I can certainly say that there are natural things that people have found to help. For example, natokinase is one particular supplement that people have found to be helpful in reducing some of those symptoms. But for full-blown Parkinson's, I don't know how that is actually reversed. I just know that trying to detoxify from spike proteins has been helpful to people. But as far as a full-blown cure, well, what we really need is for the governments to acknowledge that so that proper research can be done. We still, unfortunately, have all of these scientists who are doing their best to help people without the support or the backing of the government and federal funding. And it really is such a shame. We need the acknowledgement of these people and their injuries in order to be able to help them. But hey, we're doing gain of function for bird flu next. So, you know, I don't mean to offer you no hope, Adam. I will go back through my archives and I'll have a bit of a look, and maybe I can even, in as I just promised the caller before you, when I get a doctor on to talk about bird flu specifically, perhaps I can address that as well in the same broadcast. So look out for that. We'll have it up on Daily Pulse in X in the coming weeks. We have Daryl in North Carolina. Daryl, you are on the air.
Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Hey, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Alex Jones store. I get lots of stuff in there. I love all the things. Well, recently I got an order, and I got the two of the squishy heads, the stress balls that look like Alex Jones' head and face. And
yes.
They work great. They work great. I mean, the material's really squeezy. It's great for your hand. It relieves stress. But my concern is this. Is it a voodoo doll? Is he having headaches or neck aches or anything like that? Because I just want to make sure that it's not sending him any bad juju.
I highly doubt that Alex or anyone in the InfoWars crew would be selling a voodoo doll that causes harm to Alex. So I think you're safe, but I saw these stress balls and I thought they were great. Why are we punishing Alex's head when we should be, you know, we need to make a Bill Gates or a Larry Fink stress ball head, actually. I think that would be more fitting, but they're so great. You wanted to talk about data centers as well, Daryl?
Yes, I do. So my concern is that we know that these data centers are sucking up all the water, all the electricity, while they're telling humans to cut back on your water and electricity. My feeling is it's us, the humans, or the data centers. And what can we do about this, you know, in a smart way to let them know that we want our water and electricity, and they need to figure out another way to cool these data centers without harming the humans that live in the area? And that's kind of my point.
For sure. So I am just looking up now that the residents of Tulsa, so they haven't definitively defeated the proposed data center, but they are opposing it. So it says that the Tulsa County Data Center has been opposed. My internet's taking a little while to load, but it says citizens rallied with strong opposition to a proposed data center on 506 acres of undeveloped land in Tulsa County, just north of the Cherokee Industrial Park. and directly west of significant well-established residential neighborhoods. The power elite were also in attendance at the Tulsa County Board of Commissioners meeting. So they tabled the vote on the zoning change from agricultural to light industrial until a special meeting on July 16 in response to the public outcry. Now, I'm telling you this whole thing because the residents have really banded together and said, no, we don't want this. They've become very involved, obviously, with their local city, and they're saying we're not putting up with this. They are actually mobilized politically by this and banding together very, very strongly to go up against a giant like Amazon and have the success that they have thus far. Just proves to everyone that everyone can do it. But what we need first and foremost, Daryl, is a connection with our local communities. We need to be paying attention to the things that are going on around us, and we need to be forming relationships with the cities right now. Even if no data centers are planned in our areas, we need to be forming those relationships now to let them know we're going to, as a community, keep supporting you if you sort of cooperate with us. And the reality is, again, as I said, you know, one of the arguments for this to those city people is, I don't care how much they say it's going to bring jobs here, because the argument is, oh, it's going to bring 5,000 jobs. Yeah, for now, until AI is doing everything for those workers eventually, right? So the argument is, sure, we don't want to halt the progress of AI. You know, if we say we need it and we're in an AI arms race, not a problem. But what we are saying is that you can't do it here. You can't do it here in this community. You can go and do it near the coast somewhere, get your own desalination plant or another way of cooling this water and supplying this water rather than impacting these communities. So again, to recap, Daryl, you need to get involved locally, have a strong community around you that's involved with your local city. I don't see any other way around this because it's coming from the top down.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. They got to get involved locally before they start building them, because once they're built and secured, then there's nothing we can do. Yeah. Well, thanks, Maria.
100%. Thank you so much. Yeah, form those relationships with your local council people, your local city people, and understand what's coming to your cities. And once you have that rapport with them, you're much more likely to defeat something that's coming down the pipe later on than after it's already a done deal. So thank you, Daryl. We have Mike in New Mexico. Mike, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Maria. Great show as always.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to thank you so much for bringing up this issue about these new viruses that they're developing, apparently. I mean, I didn't know it was that bad, you know, and I think it's important people know about that. So they've apparently got a new one now that's 100% fatal. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Now, the question is, why are we funding this type of research? Why would we even want to make something like that?
Yeah.
The only answer I can think of is my only answer is they want us all dead, okay?
Well, that's always been the case, Mike. Yeah, that's always been the case. That hasn't changed. I think the only thing that's changed is that people stopped understanding that they want us all dead. So, you know, they thought that maybe we had some breathing room, or maybe this stuff wasn't going to be going on anymore. But unfortunately, it is. So the first and foremost, the first step is to making people aware of it. I'm so glad that people got the opportunity to hear from John in this broadcast and realize this stuff's still going on.
Today's been very important. Okay.
I appreciate that, Mike. No, it's fine. I appreciate that. I think that the first step is for people to realize that this stuff's going on, that, you know, there are data centers that are gobbling up communities. There are funding for viruses. There are these new vaccines funded by Bill Gates still planned. And once people realize that, they may say, okay, maybe we don't put our absolute trust in the intentions of every single government official anymore. Maybe we really need to start taking this stuff seriously with our local communities and ensuring ourselves up against some of these things that may be coming down the pipeline. So I hope the broadcast has achieved that for you, Mike. Anything else you wanted to say?
I thought perhaps we might be able to trust Trump and maybe RFK, but RFK's only answer is let's make another vaccine. Give me a break. How about shoot, hang, and shoot some people some more that are doing this stuff? I'm serious, man. It's out of control.
Well, I am all for a peaceful revolution, Mike, and I think that the first step is... is people being aware of what's going on, understanding that perhaps things aren't quite the way that they're being presented to us, and then we can do something about it. But I will leave it there with you, Mike. Let's go to Willie in San Diego. Willie, you are on the air.
Hey, Maria, thanks for taking my call. You know, we're still in a declared medical emergency, while RFK, as I understand it, could end that section of the PrEP Act immediately and the EUA simply dissolve. You know, even after his MMR vaccine statement, I had hopes for him. But since then, I'm questioning his motives behind just eliminating food dyes when the mRNA monster still exists. We're not recommending COVID-19 now for young children and pregnant mothers. That's all good and well, but seniors like myself on Medicare are still being recommended. When will it all become so bad that insurance companies and hospitals are mandated by government medical protocols again for treatments against the patient's wishes? And could we even lose our coverage if we disagree with their protocol?
Yes, the answer is yes, Willie. That is a very real possibility, and I'm glad that you're seeing it. And I want to say something. The recommendation for young children has actually not gone anywhere. They're still being recommended. If you pay attention to RFK Jr.'s words, he said the recommendation for healthy mothers and healthy children. Now go onto the CDC's website and see what they consider healthy. And I will tell you that 99.99% of Americans are considered unhealthy. This is why they're actually still recommending it to children and expectant mothers. Have a look at some of the articles. Dr. Kat Lindley, I think her name is, she was sharing that pediatricians are still pushing this onto parents. Why? Because the definition of healthy unhealthy is if you have even the slightest bit of physical inactivity, you are considered unhealthy. So the broad stroke that was painted here was that it wouldn't be recommended to healthy people, but majority of Americans and people around the world are actually considered unhealthy. So it's not just you, Willie, and people who are, you know, seniors. Everyone is still having this recommended to them. Nothing has actually physically, tangibly been done about this. And it's very, very disappointing. And you're right about how long until this is pushed onto us. RFK Jr. recently said it's his vision, for every American to be wearing a wearable within the next 4 years. That's a freaking nightmare. I'm sorry. That's a nightmare. So, Willie, please continue to pay attention to what's really happening behind the scenes. And the sooner people realize that this technocratic takeover actually hasn't stopped, the better that they'll be able to stand up to some of the missteps that this administration is making, whether knowingly or unknowingly. I will go to one final caller quickly. James in Canada.
Hi, this is Katie. Actually, I'm calling from the Universal Ostrich Farm. We've been under the controversial calling order, which has garnered so much of the support from United States citizens. You guys have been so supportive with us, and we just got our verdict today from our Canadian government that it was a unanimous negative decision against our farm, that they will still fully carry out our calling order. And what this means for Canada, just proves that our Canadian Food Inspection Agency is prioritizing the World Health Organization directives over our Canadian sovereignty, and should really, really be recognized that we're in a lot of trouble here, and we're just still standing up, standing strong, and asking for as much international support and awareness over the matter as possible. We have a flock that has the opportunity to study antibodies that could fight not only just avian flu, but other human and animal diseases, and we're shielding it from the world.
I actually know about this case. When it first started, Dr. Rima Labo came onto my broadcast to talk about this. Did you say your name was Kitty?
Yeah, Katie Pasitney.
Katie, Dr. Rima Labo came and spoke to me, and she said these ostriches are absolutely vital because they are able to produce antibodies for a range of different problems that are coming down the pike. So what can people do to support you right now? Katie, we've got a short amount of time left until the end of the show. Quickly, what can people do to support you?
Absolutely. You can contact our Canadian government, pour in emails to the Canadian Food Inspection Agency and Mark Carney. You can ask for media. We need to spread the awareness globally, internationally. So for as much awareness of basically, I mean, we're kind of going up towards a communist country here. We just need awareness for our situation to keep these animals alive. They have been healthy for 219 days, herd immunity, and somehow immunity and antibodies don't exist in our Canadian government anymore. Those words. You can contact me at my phone number, 250-870-8246, or you can find us on saveourostriches@gmail.com. But this is destroying Universal Ostrich Farm is not only going to erase research, but it's going to signal to the world that Canada's hostile to independent science, natural solutions, and farmer-led innovation. And we really need all of the support on an international level right now.
All right, Katie, you have my word. I will be in touch. We'll get you on to the Daily Pulse as well. Get you onto that show, which is my daily show, with Vigilant Fox. Try and get more attention onto this so that we can help with this issue, because it is so, so important. And you're right. It signals that essentially governments are saying natural immunity doesn't exist anymore at all. So I will be in touch, Katie. I wrote down your email address. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks.
We are at the end of the broadcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Rumble, ZEEE Media, and X at ZEEE_Media. You have my word. I will continue to tell the truth. We have a broadcast coming up now in 3 minutes. It's going to be live in 3 minutes. So you can tune in on X or Rumble, but you have my word. I will continue to tell the truth, I'm not going to have the wool pulled over my eyes, and it makes me really angry when it's pulled over innocent people's eyes. So thank you all for your time today. God bless you. God bless InfoWars. God bless America.
What really makes a nutraceutical work? What is a nutraceutical? What is a supplement? Yeah, I mean, let's just talk about Power Plant, for example. So Methyl Drive is something that everyone, whether they're 12 or whether they're 90, they should all take it. Power Plant is a little bit more specific. It's good for both men and women. I would say it has a stronger, more pronounced factor on the younger side, especially people that are into high-intensity exercise. Key ingredient in that is cordyceps, which increases your oxygen carrying capacity, but it also increases ATP, and it also helps you make new mitochondria. So imagine taking something like cordyceps found in Power Plant and then combining it with Methyl Drive. But oh, wait, there's also total male mineral support in Power Plant. We've got zinc, which increases luteinizing hormone, which makes you produce more testosterone. But then to counteract the rise in sex hormone binding globulin, we include boron in it to increase your free testosterone. That's something that normal formulas don't do. We've got the thing that creates free testosterone in your body in Power Plant, according to studies. That's Mainline. You can Google it.
And not all CoQ10 is the same, right?
Everyone should take CoQ10. Listen, and if you're going to take CoQ10, you're going to go to some store or some pharmacy, and they're going to try to sell you a bottle with the same amount that's in here for like $50. You get CoQ10 plus four other ingredients with this.
It's true. And the same amount.
Same amount. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our ultramethylene blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on methylene blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take.
So the methylene blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is a nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.